and we will continue moving forward. Perhaps you saw how I'm being evaluated this year, which is very public, also tied to metrics in terms of what it is that I'm expected to achieve. It was kind of laid out in the newspaper, and more will come this week. We look forward to working our administration with your administration, trying to discern sorts of areas that we feel we can help save resources, and we'll be hopefully reporting at least the beginnings of that effort to you next week when both bodies meet. And in addition, indicating now we have a structural deficit in our budget in the district. There's a need to lower expectations and help people understand where we are and where we think we need to go and how together we can keep this wonderful school district and borough in good shape. But that's going to mean some belt tightening and some reductions in our budget, and that will go on, those announcements, and how we'll proceed over the next 7, 8, 9 months, so it's not a surprise to anyone. We don't want people to be alarmed. We can deal with this. It won't be, you know, all the expectations people are used to receiving, but that's okay, as long as they've had fair warning and can participate in public hearings as we discuss these things. And so I look forward to a really great school year. Our teachers and classified employees and principals are just doing great work out there, and we expect good results by the end of the year, and I know with their efforts we'll see them. So thank you very much.
Joint Assembly, School Board Committee on School Issues. Jim, have you met yet? Or?
Meets next week, the 13th, I believe.
Okay. Assemblymember Bettini?
I just wanted to let everybody know that the School Site Selection Committee is meeting on Thursday at 5 p.m., and we're really excited because we understand that we've got that new GIS person that's going to do the build-out for us to tell us where the next school is supposed to be. So I just wanted to keep everybody informed. Thank you.
Great. Any other comments? Assembly? Manager comments?
Well, you missed over Assembly Public Relations comments.
I just said, are there any other Assembly Public Relations comments?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Required last time to do a report. I'm going to do a verbal report of my meeting at the National Association of Counties that I and the mayor attended. I'm going to do a verbal report today. I'm going to make it. I'll try to trim it down from the 30-minute version and to make time a little shorter.
There's a great article in that NACO newsletter that comes out about meetings.
Well, let me tell you first about that.
Okay.
The first 2 days is dedicated to the Technology Summit and my obligation to represent Alaska on the Telecommunications and Technology Steering Committee. During that time, we worked out some legislation to forward on DC in regards to several different issues. I won't go into them all unless you'd like to do. In the afternoon, the first day was the tech summit. That ran from 8:30 in the morning until 5 p.m. Being at NACO before, I realized early bird gets the worm. I was there at 7 o'clock to get my registration and not have to stand in the line. The summit focused on enhancing citizen quality of life, lowering government costs of doing business, and sustaining economic development, and increasing transparency and accountability. And that was the using technology to do more with less. That was day one. Day two, my obligation to the steering committee took up the morning from 8:30 till noon. In the afternoon, I sat in on advanced leadership training, effective government building, and sustainable community engagement. And while on the topic of telecommunications, before I get too far ahead, I know I looked at the list of who all in the borough is participating in either the GETS, the TPS, or the WPS. Mr. Brodigan, you're one of the people that was on the list. Mr. Duffy's name was on there. Also, Carl Herford's name was on there. I would like to give these pamphlets to our current manager in hopes that she'll go ahead and use free cards that allow us allow priority service. Now, I can tell you, one guy tried to call his wife from a Denver football game using one of these cards. He got pinched and he got fined. These are strictly for emergency purposes only, and only for officials in government or in the field Mr. Brodigan represents, emergency services. And what it does, it allows you with your cell phone or your telephone through a PIN number to have priority over anybody else. So when the earthquake happens and everybody picks up the phone, I can tell you right now that the telephone companies are only set up to allow 75% of the people to be on the phone at one time. So it may be something we want to look into when we only have a few members here at the borough participating in these programs. Definitely something that the new manager needs to be have a card, and I don't know if it's essential or not for assembly members in case they need to be called in an emergency to possibly participate in one of these three programs. The other one is wireless priority service, and it's very similar. But again, these are not to be used in vain. I was just a little embarrassed to only see a few people from the Madison Borough having access to these services when anytime we could have an emergency, I can tell you that you're going to have a heck of a time making phone calls. The second, the first day of the actual summit started on Sunday, and so that was Friday and Saturday. Sunday we had the opening general session with the president, Valerie Brown, and the speaker, Robert Reich. What a guy. He stands about this tall. But this guy was former economic, he's an economist and former labor secretary and an author. And he put the recession in a nutshell. This guy opened up a lot of eyes. It was, I'm not sure if you can get on NACO's site and you'll look at his presentation. He wouldn't even stand behind the podium. He was too short. But what a genius. And like I said, he served under several presidents. And he has seen the trends and the picture he was painting. We haven't felt the effect here yet. I've seen it firsthand down there. And it's not going to be long, and we're going to feel it here. That was very informative. We had a choice to pick what we wanted to do that afternoon. And the one that I chose was the there's no place like home, the foreclosure crisis impact on your county, which is your borough. And we're not really seeing that effect right now, but there are counties out there that have foreclosure rates into the 20 percentile. So let's just hope things improve. Just go on. That would take care of Sunday. Now going to Monday, and I've got lots of information for you if you'd like to read through it. On Monday, I chose to go doing more with less. How to use technology to improve services and reduce costs. And that started off my morning. Actually, that was Sunday. We started on Sunday. That must have been the one I wanted to ask you. I'm not sure. Going to Monday. Increasing staff performance with low-cost e-learning. Talked about how to save money on travel by using e-learning and the amount of money that can be saved by conducting classes here at home instead of using transportation dollars to send people to school to get them up to speed on the newest technology. In the afternoon, that ran until... here's one I thought was great. Preserving Decrium and the Right to Leadership. That was also held on Monday. I'm a member of the National Association of Republican Commissioners, County Commissioners. So I went to lunch in the day room. We had the Tuesday, the course for emphasis on FCC's National Broadband Challenge Plan. In the back in March, I told the FCC commissioner that 100 megs to the home was not feasible with $8 billion, and was echoed by Verizon, Comcast, the vice president for that. And they have since lowered this 100 meg to the home plan that Mr. Obama had set forth to more realistic value of 4 megs to the home. And it's within hopes that everybody will have the ability to get online. And it's a more realistic, more economic challenge. One that's doable, the other one was not. Just a picture with a few here, and then I'll turn it back to you. I'm not going to take the whole 30 minutes. Health reform implementation. I did meet with some vendors that we do business with. Here's one I'm going to pass on to Pete, because he's kind of really into that. It's solar power, smarter plants, right? I brought back presents for everybody on one that Green Government Initiative. And so I'll pass two this way and the rest this way. One topic that I liked, that it was the 5 proven ways to save money. And I've got copies of this, and so instead of going through it all, I'll ask the clerk to make each a copy of the presentation, of the PowerPoint. And if we all want to try to start saving money now, don't we?
Yes.
And Maureen, I'll pass these two over here to you, and hopefully. The other thing that I saw, do we have any Mr. Public Works here? Yeah. Okay, I see 4 guys out. I see 3 guys out taking signposts. Okay? There's one guy watching, a couple guys digging, one guy digging. One guy can dig at a time. It's only one guy. It's a one guy digging at a time, like a job worker. And you may have to have a flagger. But what I've got for you is called the road worker. And what it is, it's just in the back of a pickup. And it just bores a hole down, and you stick the sign in, and away you go. Backfill it. It may be a way for us to save some money. I know replacing signs is a continual thing, process. People run them over, they steal the signs. But I brought this back, and I'll give it to Marnie, and she can pass it on to you. The vendors were very diversified. The last day I was there, the mayor and I were invited to a stock hop. It was after hours, 7 o'clock. Well, don't give me that. Look on her face. So the mayor and I went to the stock hop. And, of course, I dressed up in the 50s style, the rolled-up jeans and the sleeves. And they gave out white T-shirts to everybody. And I got the T-shirt home, and I looked at it, and I said, there's no logo on it. So I went back, and I said, I got one without a logo. They go, oh, no, you got to roll the sleeve up to see the logo. And so we had a good time then, and then the mayor stayed the next day and did the voting for the borough. And I haven't chatted with him since, but again, the information that Ryan will be passing out to you, I think will be very informative. If you'd like to hear more, I've got more. Yeah. If you want me to cut it short, I'll cut it short now. Would this suffice as
And every, I encourage everyone to read the last NACO newsletter, because it gave us a good synopsis and told you where to go to get the full presentations on all the seminars that we're offering. Yeah. Very good topics.
It's good to be able to participate, ask questions, and validate the answers. And it's great that the Madison Borough was chosen to be the representative on the telecommunications technology task force, and I have to thank you for being on the board of directors, and Kathy Wasserman for allowing me that privilege. And with that, I'll pass the floor to you, madam.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ewing. And Mr. Hall?
I attended the school board meeting last Wednesday night and enjoyed myself. The wood-fired boiler project was on their agenda, Sioux Valley High School, and the board unanimously approved us submitted an application, grant application to AEA, so I thought that was one of the. And I also noticed they have bigger chairs than we have. And their table's not bigger.
Yeah.
So. It's bummed out, okay.
Yeah. Maybe we should hold up a joint meeting over there then.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. It'd be good. So, okay, now to manager comments.
I've got a few, but I'll try to keep them brief. Today, borough staff met with Don Ford, the project manager of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, to discuss the recent Mattanuska River erosion problems along the Old Glen Highway just south of Palmer. Mr. Ford was requested by Senator Murkowski's office to investigate the erosion problems due to inquiries to the senator's office by several citizens. So we'll be working with them as much as possible. One thing that you all probably saw in the news was there was an environmental audit conducted at the request of the borough, and that was out at our port leased land, in our port land. And we've made some really good progress on that. DEC went out today, and they visually inspected the properties, took several pictures. There were no reportable spills noted as of today, and NPI is addressing soil staining. Olympic has already done all of their cleanup, so we're doing well with that. And I just thought I'd give you an update since that was in the paper just recently. Our HR manager, Sonia Comet, has requested a second review of applicants for the borough manager position. We were wondering what date you guys might want to do that second review, maybe mid-October or beginning of November.
Mid-October sounds good.
Any thoughts on that?
Yes, yes. I was wondering when we were going to do that again, and I think if maybe it might be a good time to do it the week of October 5th, then we'll know whether we have a strong mayor or manager or whatever.
How about the 6th? When did it make sense?
That would be the 6th sounds good.
October 6th has been proposed, Mr. Ewing.
Yeah, of course, the clerk won't have to do anything. You'd be all fatigued after the election.
Yeah.
All the ballots are really here. Anyway, we'll be in the conference room.
I would like to add a caveat to that, that if the strong mayor form of government is passed, that meeting will be canceled.
Well,
why? Because you're specifically advertising a meeting to discuss the manager. At that point, the meeting is voided. Because if the voters so choose, now we won't have the ballot counted until when?
9 o'clock, Tuesday night.
You'll have the poll vote that night, election night. Absentee and question.
In the event that the strong mayor form of government is adopted, that meeting should not be held. Because it will be advertised as a manager meeting. And if the voters decide to go the other way, there's no reason for us to sit here and talk about the manager. Am I correct, Madam Clerk?
Is that the first time we're going to meet on this?
No, we met once already, and then we got the new applications that have been received.
That's a month from today. Do you want to do something sooner?
When?
I don't. I think it's a waste. Let the voters decide, and we'll do something after. Gray, if I may comment. Ms. Gray is doing a wonderful job at the helm right now.
I think there's an advantage to going through the candidates.
I'd like
so
to forget what we got, just so we're moving.
Yep, and even if there is a strong mayor, they still need managers and assistant managers to
work. Thank you. It does look like we've got some problems.
Okay. Assemblymember Bettine?
Okay, I will first ask the deputy manager what is the amount of time that she thinks she needs? An hour or?
Yeah, I think at least an hour.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to change my recommendation to 3 p.m. on the 14th of September.
That's fine with me.
The Tuesdays.
September?
That would be before
October.
Yeah, before the assembly school joint assembly school board meeting and the procurement workshop.
Next week.
Okay. So there wasn't a consensus, so would you vote?
It passes with assembly member Ewing opposed.
Okay, so HR. All right, anything else, Ms. Gray?
I do have one more thing.
Okay.
Patty Sullivan would like to introduce the winner of our poster contest.
Hello, Deputy Mayor and members of the Assembly. Patty Sullivan, Public Affairs Director. I wanted to give you a brief overview on the latest poster. It's actually displayed on the wall right there. It's the Susitna Ferry. And the first one is right up here, the Palmer Hay Flats, future site of the Natural Science and Education Center. I wanted to hand out, Brenda, if I may, some specifics on it. Thank you. The Borough Poster Contest and Printing Project was approved in February 2009 by the Assembly to promote through art a borough priority state and or federal project. An Assembly member, Cindy Bettini, sponsored it. It was her idea when she visited Juneau and saw lots of memorable art that showcased projects for legislators so it would remind them of their homes. Our first framed image is in Juneau at our local legislators' offices, and this one will be sent as well. Last year's poster, we've sold about $2,000 worth, and it's not a money-making venture. It's promoting the projects themselves and hopefully a local artist also along the way. You can buy this year's posters at all five borough libraries, Pia's Art Framing Gallery off Bogard, Town Square Art Gallery in Wasilla. Soon it'll be at Fireside Books in Palmer. It's also here. It's promoted online, and there's been several events so far. Town Square Art Gallery, we held an event on July 10th. We had a pretty strong turnout. Facebook chatter helped that out a lot. We had a Wasilla Chamber Spotlight, and we were also at the Alaska State Fair recently. And I wanted to introduce the winning artist, Linda Henning. Her acrylic painting was selected from the 7 submissions by 5 judges, and she was awarded $1,500 in return for all non-exclusive rights granted to the borough. And she actually brought the original here today. So, Linda. So there's the original. You can see that it wasn't, it's not a Photoshop project. And I do have a couple words if I can now that I have you here.
Did you get the photo yet? Or was the picture
at all? Did you get it? Yeah, I do. You want to have them as a backdrop?
Sure.
Thank you.
Straight.
Oh, straight.
Very beautiful.
I know that this. I've been here before for the libraries and for the animal shelter, and I'm pretty clear about where arts stand as far as government projects go. Hopefully, it's under those, you know. But this is a self-sustaining project when you think about it. It with the sales of the poster, those go to funding the project next year, at least in part. It's inspiring for someone like me to be able to have a new project, a challenge, to take this on. And hopefully my passion for this project translates to the project, that people will see that and helps
promote the project as it is. So I think it's something that hopefully you will keep involved in. Thank you.
I just want to say a few words about Linda. Linda has been one of my chamber of commerce buddies at Wasilla for many, many years. And I knew she was talented in that, you know, she's put together several books, several other publications. When I first met her, she was selling ads for a newspaper. And she is, I think, an example of many people that we all interface with every day that we don't know the depth of their talent. And I really thank her for taking this one on. And also, I want to make a point to the rest of the assembly members that we have a very large art community in the Valley, and they are making their way here. And stimulating the economy. And sometimes it's not always the projects that we talk about here at the table that are making our economy not only financially strong, but rich in culture. And I know Linda Henning is one of those people, and I'm so glad she moved here.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, leads us to attorney comments. Mr. Ashenbrenner? Okay. Madam Clerk?
The clerk's report is in your red folder. Has the meetings from September through November 16th. Also attached to the clerk's report are the September 14th agendas, which one more will be added tomorrow. And then the election brochure was also attached to that. I emailed it out to the members yesterday. Was there any comments on the election brochure that was emailed out? The only thing I will have to say is the pictures that are in here are actually going to be better because this was actually printed off our printer, not by the actual printer who's printing all the election brochures.
That is all I have. Mr. Colbert?
Yes, Madam Deputy Mayor, to the clerk on the... just looking down the list here, November 2nd is the Tuesday's election day. Is that one that now we're not... we would only have... I would think we'd have quite a bit of business stacked up. I don't know what the assembly feels like, but I'm okay with having a meeting that night because we have the election certification and only one meeting in October. I would imagine if we had introductions and stuff that we would want to get moving on it. AML week is the week of the 16th. Newly elected officials starts Monday and then the regular conference on Wednesday. So if we went to Juneau for that, we'd all be out of here, except for those that are newly elected folks. So we do have some inherent conflict a little bit on the week of the 16th, but what about the possibility of a meeting on the 2nd?
The 2nd?
Tuesday, yeah. There's nothing published on the schedule. That's election day, the national state elections.
On the 2nd.
Right.
It was, if I could, Madam Deputy Mayor, that was canceled when we were setting the schedule for this year because it is a state election day.
I'd like to speak in opposition.
Hey, Mr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Colbert, I can see where the void is. Election Day traditionally is a day that we hang our hat out there and help support candidates. And I do not feel it's proper for us to hold a meeting. The election polls don't close until 8:00. If you'd like to have another meeting, maybe we can have another one in the beginning of October on the 5th. I'm not for having meetings, just to have meetings. But
that's
election day, too?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm against that. we can possibly look at maybe the 26th, Jim, if we need to hold a meeting. But election days are taboo. They're taboo for conducting government business. Nobody in the right mind has meetings on election day. I just don't think it's fair to the public, not fair to the people seated around this table. It's not fair to the clerks because they're very busy on election days. So.
Yeah, they only do one thing for state elections. So, well, if you need an extra meeting, we could have it on another day, even a Wednesday or something. Yeah.
Saturday.
Assembly member meeting.
Well, I see that we are going to need a meeting as well, and that would be in that if on October 5th the strong mayor form of government passes, we have 60 days to get it together. And so I'd rather have the meeting scheduled. If it does not pass, we really need to hire a manager. So I find that we currently are kind of rudderless. And for me, I would, if it's, I don't have a problem with the second. I cannot do it on the 12th.
How about if we did the third, maybe? I've been here many nights during elections.
I wouldn't mind the second. I'm happy to.
We've had them in the past for, I don't know of any. How many years have you guys canceled it during the national election?
Last two.
Last few? That's because you were here.
I also respect the election process.
Oh, it looks fun.
We're voting on
How about the 9th? Would November 9th work for you?
What day is that?
It's a Tuesday.
Well, it started, we're going to start at 6 o'clock.
3.
That's the meeting at 3 o'clock.
Assemblymember Bettini?
People, okay. I'm just going to say that my concern is what I just spoke about. We're either going to need to hire a manager or we have to change our code. We have 60 days to do it. So I would think that something sooner rather than the 9th would be better. And I'm still kind of stuck on the 2nd. I'd say let's go for the 2nd. And
let's just take a vote on that. If that doesn't work, okay.
Assemblymember Houston?
I agree with all of that, but why not earlier? Why not the 12th of October?
We have one the 20th, the 19th. So we're, okay. We give an introduction to someone the 19th. You know, if you have a contract that's ready to get awarded and you want to get the business going, you know, it already takes months to get it through the downstairs, and then. I would just move that we set the meeting on the 2nd. We'll take a vote on it, and if that doesn't work, we'll find a date that works. Go from there.
Okay. Is there, Mr. Ewing, are you still objecting to going on November 2nd?
What day are you playing with now?
November 2nd.
I won't object as long as the meeting's at the regular scheduled time so the public can attend.
Okay. All right. There you go.
6 p.m.?
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay. You have in your packet citizens and other correspondence there. In addition, you received an IM with the certification of the property assessment roll. You all took a look at how many millions of dollars we have and how much is exempt. You have questions on the informational memorandum. Okay, so would you like to speak to Ms. Clayton then about that? Okay.
Come on down. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Ewing.
Through the deputy mayor. Tammy, I'm wondering, I see a few things in there. I see a personal property breakdown on page 111 of my packet. I don't know what number that is in yours. It shows the city of Wasilla with $50 million of the personal property revenue.
Uh,
Through the deputy mayor to assembly member. Yeah, it's business inventory in excess of $250,000.
It looks like the borough is a pretty chunk out of the city, doesn't it?
That's the value of the business inventory within the city of Wasilla.
I understand. It's taxable.
It's taxable area-wide. However, the city of Wasilla does not tax it.
No, we don't tax it. Right. Ourselves. Yeah, another thing that confuses me is I'm looking at the FSA. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I don't know the number of my FSA, but I can just about guess which one it is. Probably 130.
And
I'd be correct. That's the one with all the state numbers.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Okay.
Wasilla Lakes Fire Service Area.
And so it's instead of breaking them down, Wasilla Lakes, we just put it at 130 is my number.
Yeah.
Fire Service Area.
And
I see there we're contributing again the lion's share of the fire service. I see FSA other, and I'm curious as to how many FSAs are under other.
There's the ones that are listed are the only ones that are taxed. Like two is Butte. These are just some of the ones I remember off the top of my head. In the budget, we actually list the number and then we list the fund with the description of the service area.
Okay, so other, is that the gross total of everything else, the other FSAs, or how do we come up with the other?
I believe that it's not applicable, and I'm not sure why it's listed as that. However, tomorrow I could talk to the borough assessor and find out why that's even listed.
That's acres. Okay,
858
acres in my fire service
here. Well, excuse me,
I'm
715. Oh, Mr. Ewing?
Yeah.
I represent a very, very large area in that fire district,
which
is outside of the same one, 130, which is outside of the city of Wasilla.
Yeah, we wondered why our FSA taxes went up again. Now I guess we know. We're supporting areas that don't have city water, sewer, and fire hydrants. And at one time we had a very low rating, and I'm not sure if we still do, but as we incorporated out, we ended up sharing the wealth that deployed FSA, and we did notice an increase in our FSA taxes this year, so.
Mr. Ewing, shortly after you were elected, you asked for every district's assessed value.
Mm-hmm.
And as I recall, District 5, which is the one that I represent, was the highest, and District 7, which Mr. Hollister represents, was the second highest. I'm not sure where Wasilla lied in there, but it was kind of the middle of the pack. So I'm not sure exactly where you're going with this, but also as somebody that lives in District 5 and has considerable property value in the city of Wasilla, I consider the fact that my family is contributing greatly to the city.
So the 15 square miles within the city of Wasilla, and then you represent how many square miles? I know you're about 20,000 square miles for you?
District 7, please.
I mean, she raised a question, and so
move on then.
Yeah, it's just the certification of the value and the ultimate total.
I guarantee you, there's not 15 square miles in this borough that pays the taxes. City of Wasilla pays.
All right, thank you, Ms. Clayton. Okay, we have a few minutes. Want to take up the unfinished business?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Do we have a person to be heard?
At 7 o'clock. That's when we do that.
I'm sorry.
This one has not been yet. Okay.
Ordinance Sarah number 10-071, an ordinance accepting and appropriating $57,552 from the United States Department of Agriculture to fund 480 project number 45131 for the Old Glen Highway Forest Health Protection Project with accompanying resolution. Serial number 10-063, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the United States Department of Agriculture grant, project number 45131, Fund 480 for the Old Glen Highway Forest Health Protection Project.
Okay, if this Deputy Manager, this matter has been postponed. Do you have a report?
We would like to postpone this indefinitely. We have missed the deadline for that grant application, or the acceptance of that grant for the signature. So we respectfully ask to postpone it.
Okay. Assembly Member Houston.
Did our action cause us to miss that deadline?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I'd just like to add that I'm really disappointed in that part of this program was to slow down the infestation of beetle and their impacts in the forestry. From a forester who worked on the Miller's Reach fire, he feels that the area in the Butte Kinnick River is ripe for a similar fire as such there, and by losing this grant, we have slowed down our ability to reduce that fire hazard and the spread of the beetle. So very disappointing to have these delayed taxes.
Staff is diligently working to see if we can get some other form of grant or see if there's any tax exemption that will be allowed.
Okay, so is there any objection to delaying indefinitely? Hearing none, Answer number 10-071. Next item.
Ordinance Sound number 10-073, an ordinance accepting and appropriating $300,054 from the Alaska State Department of Health and Social Services to fund 475 project number 20382 and reappropriating $3,595 from the Planning Division fiscal year 2011 operating budget fund 100 to fund 475 project number 20382 for the Human Services Community Matching Grant with accompanying resolution serial number 10-065. Excuse me. A resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the participation in the Human Services Community Matching Grant Program, and also resolution serial number 10-066, a resolution allocating Human Services Community Matching Grant funds to nonprofit human service agencies within the community and authorizing the manager to enter into grant agreements with the said grantee agencies.
Okay, and we've already had the public hearing on this. So the matters before you, are there any further discussion? Assembly Member Houston?
Were we going to have a report on some alternative ways to approach funding for the seniors project in Houston? Is it part of this coming back? Okay.
Well, that information could be there for.
I actually have Pam Graham and Christine Nelson here in case there are questions on that, and they can answer any of those.
I don't have particular questions. I was kind of hoping that there was some ideas that have been generated.
Have we been in contact with Houston Valley Seniors?
Okay. Yes, and if you'd like for Pam to give a short update, we can certainly do that, Pam or Christine.
Thank you.
The Mid-Valley Seniors application for this project did not meet the requirements for the specific grant. I have spoke to their director. I have not spoken to any of the board members. I explained to her what would need to be done to meet the requirements next year, and she seemed like she was aware of what needed to be done. So,
in particular, they were looking to, is there capital funding available for the tractor or something?
Not in any of the grant programs that I deal with. There's okay. Not much out there for capital items.
Other than their state legislators. Okay. Assembly Member Bettine?
Pam, I had emailed you and asked you if there were
additional funds available from previous grants that might be available for leasing a tractor?
And none of the grant funds that I know of are available any longer. The one pot that I knew of was the grant match account, and that's pretty much tapped. With the grants that we have out there, there's not going to be any left available on that.
Now, grant match for social services out of this same...
The funding for this program through previous years has been completely used. There is no additional funding.
A few years back, there was...
It's been used. Every line item is a zero now.
So we're looking for, I guess, I wasn't at the last meeting for when this got postponed, but I've been through several processes for this particular grant, and it seems like there needs to be a process in place for these nonprofit organizations, particularly the smaller ones, where there is communication back when you see a grant come in that doesn't qualify to ship it back. I'm not asking special concessions for just one organization, but I would ask that for all of the organizations that normally apply for these. They are a lot of different nonprofits that I'm sure are strapped for staff. And I know that the borough at times feels like they're strapped also, but not quite like the nonprofit organization.
And if I receive them prior to the deadline, I do contact them if they're inadequate. I review them when I receive them. In most cases with this grant, I receive them at about 4:30, the day they're due. So they wait till the very last day. Very few of them do I receive early. So, you know, and I contact the agencies and work with them. I've offered to help them. And you know, I've done all that I can to ensure that their applications get submitted correctly.
Ms. Bettini?
So since I wasn't here, if you could just specifically tell me why this one was denied, because of a purchase of equipment?
They asked for they stated in their application that their funding would be used to purchase a tractor, as well as, I believe it was freezers or something like that. Freezers, refrigerators, freezers. It was capital items that the state does not allow.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any further discussion on this legislation here, ordinance? Assemblymember Ewing?
Yes. Do I need to move it first?
No.
Okay. I'd like to amend it to withdraw $15,000 from application ID 13, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and I'll tell you why. I know people in the six-figure income who utilize the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program. This is not just for underprivileged people that are doing very well, that the daycare next door has suffered severely because people have abused the Big Brothers and Big Sisters mentoring program project, and they dropped their kids off there instead. That way they had no monthly bill. They've requested $35,000, and I'd like to take $15,000 of that and give it to the Mid-Valley seniors, not for a tractor, not for freezers, but for food. And they can buy food and canned goods and whatever they need to use the money for to operate, as long as it's not a capital expense. That's my amendment.
Ms. Gray?
I do have some concerns on this. I think that there was a committee that really went through a rigorous process to, a sworn process to determine who gets the grant. And I just wanted to mention that if you have concerns.
Okay. Assembly Jim Culver and then Ms. Bettini.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. I speak in opposition to the amendment.
big brothers and big sisters helping kids, and that's what the purpose and the grant conditions were, reaching out to families in crisis and kids in need and families in need. And if you look through the awards, that's what these things are doing. Homeless people, hungry people, Alzheimer's, children at risk. And they're small grants, but I like the way they're spread out. And so I think we do disservice to our process when we start cherry-picking at this late hour. If we want to change the process, let's change the process and maybe put an assembly member on the committee that is there, and they can come and defend and be more informed about how those choices are made. But I don't feel comfortable. These people are, right now they know that they're in here. It's been noticed. And then they're going to see us gut their approved request. I just think it's gonna hurt our relationship with the grantees as well. So I just think we stick to the process. If we don't like the process, we change the process.
Assemblymember Bettini?
Well, this statement here on page 274 regarding the Mid-Valley seniors doesn't specifically say that they want to purchase a tractor. I'm sure it does in the application. And I guess I believe in the process, but I want to find some funds so that this tilling can be done this season. And
does it have to be tied to the legislation?
Well, my question, I'll go back to the question part. I noticed that we are in the fiscal note on the page. I think some general funds are being added to this. Is that correct?
So they increased the amount of the program this year, first time in a long time. And so when we did our budget, we based it on the amounts that we'd been given previously. And so it was raised a little bit, and I think that's the amount coming from the planning department. Yep, and we're about getting close to the time here, so we might have to stop this at 7 o'clock. No, it doesn't need to be postponed. We'll just stop the discussion now and then come back to it later. Okay?
Okay, and if we could ask staff to see if there isn't money somewhere for leasing of this equipment, I would appreciate it before we come back.
Okay, so that closes that portion of the meeting, and it brings us to our public hearing. And first, under persons to be heard, Mr. Robert Creasons. And please come forward. You have 3 minutes to speak to the body.
All right. My name is Robert Creason. I live in Wasilla. I come here with a bunch of questions in regards to the NPI lawsuit that you guys settled here a while back. I was first made aware of this NPI problem when I saw it read in the paper. I came and talked to the borough attorney in St. Duffy at that time and asked him what the defense was going to be to this lawsuit. And they told me, and I laughed at him. I said, "You're crazy. You're going to lose." I said, "If you would take an environmental angle," I said, "you can beat this lawsuit. You can win this. These guys are filthy. In my opinion, they're filthy." I gave them a bunch of pictures of what they had done to my land. Lots of pictures. I gave them to the borough attorney in St. Duffy. I got those pictures. I understand he was canonized here a while back, and that's why I call him St. Duffy. But at any rate, I gave them the pictures, and they took the pictures and agreed. They were shocking. They were absolutely shocking. Well, it's going to cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars to clean up the mess they made on my property. And then I got to wonder, we finally forced them to get this equipment off our land. They were part of this land they hadn't even leased. They just sat there. They just parked their junk on it and polluted everything in sight. The borough has lots of pictures of these. I turned them over to the borough, and the borough attorney said he still had them. So you can ask him for the pictures. But then I got to wondering, what happened to this equipment when we finally got it forced off our land? You know where it went? Point McKenzie. So I went down there one day, and I met a borough watchman. I believe he was driving a borough pickup, and I asked permission to go in there. And he asked why. I said, I want to take pictures of the same equipment that was polluted my land. I want to see what they did to your land. And he said, okay. So I drove in with his permission. I took a bunch of pictures. I took them back to borough attorney in St. Duffy. I said, look at this. This is on borough land. This is the same equipment. I said, take a look at my pictures and look at these pictures. Same equipment. Doing the same thing on your land now. Same thing. There's barrels that the environmental audit, so they instigated an environmental audit, the borough did. Partially because of the pictures I gave them, but I guess they had hints of it before. They had an environmental audit done. The environmental audit just came out. I've got pictures of that. I got a copy. My attorney got the pictures of that environmental audit that they'd taken. It shows barrels that they had pushed over the edge, partially covered up, the oil running out of them. They obviously tried to cover them up. They didn't get them covered up. You guys have those pictures. The borough attorney has those pictures. My question is, what the big rush to settle this lawsuit with NPI when you had a mess that the borough was well aware of at Point McKenzie? Nobody told the borough assembly anything about it. Mr. Arvin was CEO of NPI at the time. He's on the borough assembly. But I understand he didn't vote on anything that was in regards to this. My questions are these. Why the big hurry? Why couldn't they wait 2 weeks for the environmental audit to come out? You people had some leverage. I understand you gave $2.4 million of my tax dollars to these guys. Time flies when you're having fun. I got a lot more to say. I want to know what was the big hurry. Why did the Duffy and the borough attorney decide it was none of your business about this environmental audit that was coming up? They knew the results were going to be out any time. They knew it. And they knew they're going to be bad, but they didn't bother to tell you. They let it go. Now, they're going to blame everybody but themselves for doing this. But, like I said, time flies when you're having fun. I'd like to explain a whole lot more. I want to know who's being hired by NPI. Is St. Duffy looking for more work? Why? Why was it none of your business about this mess? Why?
Thank you, Mr. Friesen, for sharing your comments with us.
I've got to fight them with my own money, and then I pay my taxes, and you give it to them to fight me also. You think it's expensive to fight them on your own? I'm fighting them with my own money. That's disgusting. You give them my tax dollars to fight me with.
Okay, we are here at public hearings. The first item on our agenda, Madam Clerk, would you read it into the record, please?
Ordinance number 10-057, an ordinance creating more in Fairfield Phase 2 Area Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 441, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement and assessing equally among the properties within the district the cost of the improvement.
Okay. Report, Ms. Manager.
Finance Director Tammy Clayton, the unit staff report.
Mr. Mayor and members of Ms. Deputy Mayor and members of the Assembly, before you is an ordinance to create the Lawrence Airfield Phase 2 Local Improvement District. In that district, 57 ballots were mailed out, of which 35 were mailed back. This is a gas local improvement district. 35 were mailed back marked yes. This represents only 61.4%. In accordance with borough code, the assembly may not approve or proceed with an improvement for a gas local improvement district unless ballots approving the local improvement district are timely filed by owners of property bearing more than 75% of the estimated cost. As such, administration advises you to vote no in accordance with code.
Okay. Okay. Are there any questions of staff? Assemblyman Culver?
Yeah. How many, to the finance director, how many ballots were returned or not? They were not returned. You know, yeah, they counted as a no, right?
Yeah.
Six.
Ms. Clayton?
Five were returned, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, Mr. Colbert?
What would be the procedure to extend the mail out or give folks a chance to go try to contact? There's obviously people interested. Could we extend to allow the other people who are interested in this try to contact before that? No response. Change that.
Through the deputy mayor, assembly member Culver. Code also discusses that. It states if sufficient ballots are not timely filed, the assembly may not proceed with the improvement unless it revises the plan and a new balloting of owners of the property in the local improvement district results in timely filing. So the plan would have to be revised, and then we would have the staff would send out ballots again.
Okay, well, to the deputy mayor, maybe we've got to wait for the public hearing to see what folks want to do, if they want to send it out again, because we can't adopt it with enough being 75%.
This has happened before, road improvements and before. Assemblymember Bertini, questions for staff?
Yes. When I read this, I have to apologize to the gentleman who called me. I didn't have the vote, and I misinformed them that I thought everything was going to go just fine, and it, in fact, is not going fine. But there were a number of foreclosed properties in here. On those foreclosed properties, should an LIB pass on those foreclosed properties, who's obligated in the end to pay the LIB? Does every member then have to pay more of the people that are not foreclosed?
To the deputy mayor, to assemblymember Bettini, I'll answer that in two parts. If a property goes into foreclosure and it goes into clerk's deed, and then subsequent down the road there is a sale, the individual who purchases that property pays the back taxes and the LID, which at that time would obviously be, you would assume would be delinquent also. If it doesn't reach that point that the sale does not occur before the LID is closed out, and just a reminder that these are 10 years, it's 10 years before it's ever closed out, the other people would, there's a reserve that's held. And so instead of that reserve getting returned to all the property records, property owners on record, it would go towards the LID.
Okay.
Or towards the bond that property owner couldn't pay.
I have one more,
but the LID would ultimately get paid.
Yeah, my question is just a little math problem here. So you had six that were not returned, and they counted as a nay. Is that correct?
There were five that were not returned.
Okay, five that were not returned. So that means you had 10 that were returned, yay, somewhere in there.
Well, we had 35 returned, yes.
35 returned, yes.
Yes.
And you had 5 returned, not returned?
We had 5 not returned. There were 4 that were returned after the due date, and 2 that weren't properly completed, meaning...
How do we get 63% if you got 35 to 5?
11 voted no.
A what?
11 voted no in your...
11 voted no.
Yeah, 11 in the staff.
Okay.
So they hang jazz to me.
I talked to Chris earlier today, and she was going to bring... I was wondering where the gap was, and if... if they have to go out for this again, which they'll have to go out, if we could know what a good way to revise it is.
I don't know how to answer everyone, but possibly I can put this map down to you. The individual would have to contact Enstar, because where the gas is now is the asterisk in the upper right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
And down below them. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so this is the part that they're trying to get to. It's not real clear in the packet. I just want to point that out. it's a big area. Okay.
I have one if anybody wants to look at it, what was mailed out with the map. And I have all the information because I'm the one that actually started the LID and worked on it for 10 months. And the information that I received last week.
We'll give you an opportunity to speak when the public hearing is open. Thank you. Any other questions for our staff? Okay. Seeing none, we'll open the public hearing. And the first person I see is signed up is Mike Patterns.
Patterson.
Oh, left off the O and the N. Sorry.
Poor handwriting. Sorry. Mm-hmm. My name is Mike Patterson. I live at the end of Trimotor, and we've been trying to get this gas line in. I tried it 2 years ago. One of the questions I have is when I tried it 2 years ago on my own, the bill was $65,000. How did it escalate to $177,000 the next year? Now, I do realize that the fellow that started this little project, Dave Payne, he did add another road, but we were 8/10 of a mile from the main. Even if you doubled it, it still doesn't come up to $177,000. And I would like to know who's getting rich over us trying to get the natural gas line in. We're still going to pay for it. We are still on our own going to buy this thing at $177,000. It may take 10 years to pay it off, but we're still paying it. The borough is doing nothing. We're still paying the interest on the money. We need this gas. I spent $3,800 on stove oil last year for my house, and I carted it myself. I went to Crowley with a 130-gallon tank and took it to my house myself. If I would have had them deliver it, it was over $4,000 for the stove oil. And last year, we were on energy assistance. We may not get it this year. So I wish we could figure out some way to get this gas line in. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Next is Alan Hollywood.
Adrian. Name's Alan Elliegood. I have a hangar on Lawrence Airfield. I paid $5,000 last year for heating oil. I got a big hangar. Next thing is if there's people that sent them in late, what would be the chance of knowing what their vote was? Next one is there's a few that if these are in default, why are they no? Why aren't they a yes? And then there's a few, and I just assume that ones that are default are the ones that haven't paid taxes. They should definitely be a yes.
Next, I'm sorry, I have B.
That's me.
Okay.
I just know I was after him when I was signing in.
So when you come, state your name for the record.
My name is Ben Torkelson, and I live on Alex there. And they pretty much said everything. I just came to here, and I am for the gas line. Fuel is expensive and not as clean and harder to deal with. And gas is much more convenient and cheap, and so I'm for gas. It's better improvement, better product. So. That's it. Thanks.
David Payne.
First, I'd like to thank Chris. She did an exceptional job. If she doesn't get the Employee of the Year award, she should. This is a long time since I've been in this building. I always went first through seventh grade in here until they condemned it as a fire hazard, but I see they got some government money and rebuilt it, and we're all here again. I got some information from Chris. I've been working on this for almost 10 months, and I have a sheet of paper here. There was six people that did not respond on a timely basis, according to the sheet of paper she sent me. Out of those six, four of them haven't paid their taxes. Out of the 11 no votes, one of those votes, I know for a fact, did not come from the person that actually owns the property, so that would have brought it to 10. We had three votes that arrived late that were yes, so they weren't counted. So if you look at all that, if 11 no votes is only 20%, 19%, so that leaves 80% on the table. Of course, now, if I was running for assembly and all of you were running for assembly and I got 51% of the votes and you got 49, guess who would be on the assembly seat? It wouldn't be the guy with 49%, 51, and, you know, it's been that way forever, and I don't understand where the 75% came in. I talked to Cindy earlier today. It was, what, 2000? When did you do that? 2005, 2006, when you changed it from 50 to 75? Anybody know? The assembly. So was there a reason for that? So in a voting situation, 75% gets the vote, not 51? Anyway, there's a lot of people here that are for this gas line, so if you actually shake the figures out, there was 35 actually voted yes that were mailed on time, three that were late that were yes, so, and one that I know that the person that signed for it wasn't, because I talked to the owner that said, well, we never got the ballot, and if we did, we would have voted yes. I got 35 minutes left. What else do you want to talk about?
Thank you. Dan Bardwell.
Good evening. My name's Dan Bardwell. I live on Trimotor. I own a couple pieces of property there, paying on it. Anyway, I originally voted yes on this deal, and then when I got this piece of paper here, I decided to vote no. And the reason being, it says here each property will be assessed or each property will be $3,100. The actual cost will to be assessed will be determined upon completion of construction. See, what you're asking me is to write you a blank check. You don't know what it's going to cost. Mad Mike did it for $68,000, and then when this guy back here does it, it's $177,000 in 1 year. But not really. I have issue with that. I'm not writing anybody a blank check. I can barely afford where I'm living now as it is. And $3,000 extra dollars, I mean, that's a well, that's drywall, that's a hot shower at my house. I don't have that right now. So, you know, if you guys can give me a solid number what this is going to cost us, and how long I have to pay it off, and that nobody's going to come to my house and try and throw me out because of back taxes. I will protect it with everybody's life, including my own. I'm not going to get thrown out of my property. So that's just the deal there. That's all I got to say.
Larry Traveling? My apologies for...
Okay. I'm not Larry. I'm Susan. I'm right after him. But I'm going to speak for both of us because
okay.
I'm more verbose than he is. Sorry. Susan Draveling.
Okay. It goes in and on the recording.
So I didn't know how this was going to go when I got here, so I don't have all my thoughts totally in order.
But we live at Wolf Lake, and which is an airstrip. And I compare this to when we got runway lights and people were asked to mail in their ballots and some did not. And so then it was revised, which I guess is what has to happen here, is it gets revised. And up there when it was revised, it was if you don't mail in your ballot, it is a yes vote. And so maybe it could be revised that way, since there are more supporters here than detractors for this LID. And is that possible? Because I think the people that don't mail it in get counted as a no, right? And so I don't know how that's written, but maybe we could change it that way, that if you don't send it in, it's a yes. And that would encourage encourage the people. I mean, if it's going to be $3,000 out of their pocket, that would encourage them if they really don't want to, and we would get a true, actual count. The other thing is, yeah, we own two lots up at Wolf Lake, and so we had to suck up twice the cost. And we've been part of LIDs before in Palmer West, and, you know, it's just part of the convenience of natural gas. And by all means, I'd be willing to pay $3,000, or I'm not going to tell you I'd be willing to pay more. But but anyway, that's it. Larry, you have anything else?
No, that's
okay, that's good.
Okay, that's all I have on the list. Does anyone else wish to come forward and speak? Please come forward and state your name.
Name's Alan Adrian.
Okay, when you get up closer to the microphone, the recorder will pick it up.
Name is Alan Adrian.
Thank you.
It's a nice subdivision. Nicer homes are being built in it. Me personally, my neighbor across the street has gas. But for the good of the subdivision, I voted yes. What I'm saying is that some members can't be found. They're absent for one reason or another. But, you know, I work hard so I can pay my property taxes every year. What I'm trying to get at is if somebody's gone commercial fishing or whatever, there's a couple late ballots that came in. What I'm asking for is a restructure in such a way that this positively could go through before we can't afford it. So all I'm stating is eventually the lots that are in foreclosure will be owned by somebody that does pay their property taxes. So my hopes are that we can amend this in such a way that the majority of the people who do want it will get gas. I deliver lumber for a living, and there's some nice homes being built, and there will be nicer homes built if there's natural gas. It'll be a win-win for everybody in the long run. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to come forward and speak?
Can I use up my last 35 seconds?
No, I'm sorry.
Out of the 11 people that voted yes, they don't even have electricity.
Okay.
And they still voted yes.
I understand where people are coming from. Nikki Taysom. That they want a clean energy that's inexpensive and something that they can rely on, but it also it comes across over and over of unreliable actions taking place by the borough in terms of taxation and programs and things like that. They need a consistent, flat, what it's going to cost so they can make a wise decision of what they want to do. And both oil and gas are non-renewable resources. It will run out sometime. So I would put down, let's put wind or solar energy that will last indefinitely, be clean, and benefit everybody. And definitely, if people aren't paying their taxes, that needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. I'll close the public hearing. Assemblymember Bettini.
I will soon get back to that.
I move ordinance serial number 10-057. Okay.
All right, speaker.
All right.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. You know, the sad thing is, I looked at this map, and I worked for the phone company. I know Lawrence Airfield really well. Matter of fact, I painted the very first sign when they developed that property. That's the last sign I ever painted, but I think they made $300 on that one. And it is developing into a nice subdivision. The sad thing is, on this corner right here is where the gas main that feeds this building runs right alongside the corner of this piece of property, lot 3. That's what's sad about this all. And the percentage of people that have voted, and Mr. Payne, you're right, you know, if it was an assembly vote, 51% would win it. I think that maybe the borough needs to reapproach this. We had a gentleman tell us he didn't know what it was going to cost for how many years. I think that's important information. Did the information the borough sent to you tell you that it's going to be spread out over a period of time?
10 years.
10 years. In his mind, he thought he was going to pay for it all in 1 year. Now, the other question I have is, if you own two lots, you get two votes. Probably not. Right? Or did you? Or do you?
Everybody got it. Mm-hmm.
Two lots gets two votes. Okay. Well, like I said, the gas main that feeds this building, the high-pressure gas main by NSTAR runs right by the corner here. And I have a feeling you live on either lot two or three of that corner. So I know there's gas in there.
Did you want to make a...
I'm going to finish my statement.
Okay.
And I think that this needs to go back out again. I agree. If you're delinquent, maybe you shouldn't get a chance to vote. If you're in foreclosure, who gets to vote for you? The bank? I think it's a shame to live that close to our gas main and want to pay for a service to help reduce your utility costs, and it takes 75% of the votes. I think that needs to be looked at. We need to look at this in borough code. I don't know who that person was. Oh, I probably do. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is, I feel that 75%, if we were to do that here, we'd never get nothing done. So I'd like to see a mechanism in place to reword this and send it back out again. Like I said, we have some confusion. I'd like to see it clearer. This was what was sent to you.
Assemblymember, you could do the legislation. Assemblymember, you can do the legislation to change the code.
And I'll have the clerk draw me up legislation where 60% of the voters inside the LID.
60.
I think 60 is a good number. Okay. 51 is teetered on the border there. 60.
And
if you would, Madam Clerk, bring that forward, and I'll bring the resolution to the table, and we'll see if we can't get this redone.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I still have a few more questions, but it's my understanding that the only thing that we can do is vote no on this tonight because it doesn't meet the code, and I'm very sorry that that's the only thing that we can do at this time. But I do have a question that might be informative for the people who are here. Did they do an LID that was 66,000 before? I mean, no. Never before. So that figure came not from the borough?
No.
Okay.
That was from NSTAR.
Okay. So how do we get to this figure, that we're looking at today? And I'm asking these questions because they've all come out here tonight. Maybe they can get. And I'm asking. I can only ask staff, David.
Okay.
Sorry. So Tammy.
Because I have all the answers.
But it's okay. They should. I know you do, David.
To the Deputy Mayor, to Assemblymember Bettine, anytime you get a request for
Could you pull that microphone down so we can all hear?
To to the Deputy Mayor, to Assemblymember Bettini. Anytime we get a request for a gas local improvement district, the maps are drawn, and that is given to NSTAR. NSTAR provides the estimate of the construction costs. So we received this letter from NSTAR on June 11, 2010, stating the total construction cost would be $156,077. In addition to that, the bank that we do the bond with requires a reserve. The reserve amounted to $8,900. There are administrative costs that amount to $9,120. The bond attorney charges $900 to draw up the documents. And then there's an interim period that we have to pay bond interest before we can get the bills paid out. And that was estimated as $2,601 for a total cost of $177,598.
Okay, and is it true then once you decide how much each person will be assessed at that the delinquents are taken into consideration?
All lots are taken into consideration. So there are 57 lots in this LID. So that, and the bond is rounded up, so it's rounded up because we can't issue uneven amounts of bonds, so it's rounded up to 178,000. You take that amount divided by the 57 lots, and that's the estimate of the amount per lot.
Okay.
Which is?
Thank you. Okay. So, Assemblymember Ewing.
Yeah, I'd like to add to my proposal to the clerk that all non-returned ballots do not count as a nay. They count as a zero. If people really feel strongly about something, they're going to vote on it. If they don't vote on it, it's a goose egg. It's the way it works in the democratic system. 80% of the people don't vote. Goose egg.
Okay.
So that would be an attachment to that amendment.
Through the Deputy Mayor, since I'll be looking at that legislation, could I ask for clarification of what you mean zero?
I'm saying, like a normal election, if you don't get off your butt and vote, you get a goose egg. You don't get a nay.
Okay, so what? Just to clarify,
a goose egg is a zero.
Like if one person didn't send a ballot back,
that's a zero. It doesn't count as a no.
Okay, so instead of 57. There were 57 ballots mailed out in this instance, then you're saying it should be reduced to 56 ballots.
No, ma'am. What I'm saying is that all the return ballots should be counted. The ballots not returned do not work in favor or against the tally.
Okay.
All
right.
It's democratic.
But they would.
Assemblymember Bettini?
Well, I just want to tell you that I would not support that, and I'll tell you why. Because it is, we are the ones that end up taxing them for this and would be foreclosing, and I just don't think that that's the right way to go. But I do support reducing the percentage.
That's why I broke it into two pieces, because I knew someone would object, and that's okay. We can object.
Wrap up here. I had one question. Can you disclose the late votes, which were they shaded? And then I would come from it.
There were four late votes that came in late. Three were yes, one were no.
What's the percentage then?
And there was two with incorrect paperwork, and those were both no. So it was almost 50-50.
But three more yes votes might have got you 75%. You were 63, no?
No, we needed 43 to get over the 75%.
Madam Deputy Mayor, obviously we can't adopt this ordinance tonight to create this LID because we haven't met the threshold 75%, so I have to vote no, but I do support revising the code to lower that threshold so that people don't have to go through all this effort time and time again. I didn't support it when it came up before, so I guess we can fix it now. Thank you.
Assemblymember Houston?
just have to register my objection. What happens if we do vote yes? This comes up all the time where we get a vote in front of us where we don't have an option, and that irritates me. And so is there not a way to say, well, this we can't do anything else, so it doesn't come forward, or look how much time we spend? It's not that I didn't call it waste of time, but holy cow, when the foregone conclusion. Don't need an answer.
Thanks. All right. Mr. Ashenbrenner, we're real clear to tell you that we can't go against the law. Assemblyman Ewing.
Yeah, I just have a point of information. Mr. Payne, I think it was said you started this process in 2004.
No.
No? Just a couple years ago?
No, just this. Started.
I know that NSTAR just recently raised the price of gas meters from $0 to $800. And I was kind of shocked when I got that little notice in the mail. Luckily, I didn't need a new one. So, but hopefully, it's great for people to come out and show us their support for something. A lot of times, we are able to make a difference. And I appreciate the support from the other side, and I'm sure we have support from this side. Thank you.
Okay. I know there's objection to this ordinance, so would members please cast their votes.
I need to reset and have the members vote again.
Thank you, Mark.
37. The motion failed with Assemblymember Halter and Ewing in support.
Aren't you glad that I didn't follow my influence?
It wouldn't have made
it.
I don't know. I don't really know what happened.
The main motion failed to adopt the ordinance with Assemblymember Halter and Ewing in support. So the main motion to adopt the ordinance failed.
Item number 2 on public hearing tonight, ordinance serial number 10-043, an ordinance adopting MSB 8.25.060, authorizing fireworks use December 31st through January 1st. Okay, we'll take 5 minute break, and while we're gathering up the table.
The ordinance is.
Okay. For fireworks? Would you like it read again?
Fireworks. Okay.
No. Okay. All right. If there's no one who wishes to speak on this ordinance, I'll close the public hearing. Assemblymember Houston.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-043.
Okay. Any discussion? Do you wish to speak to it, Mr. Houston?
Sure. Okay. I introduced this. Holy cow, it was a long time ago. It took a long time to come forward. the cities have had this ordinance or a similar ordinance in place for a few years now, and I think we've seen there's not been major problems as a result of that. I think it would reduce cost and staff. We pay a lot of extra time for code enforcement folks to run around looking for people who are violating the fireworks ordinances, and it just creates an opportunity for people to be able to celebrate in traditional ways in a safe way that doesn't break the law. So I ask for your support.
Okay. Assemblyman Halter?
I have a question for the maker of the motion, whether or not the 4th of July can be placed on the list for us, or do you want to include that? Because
I do not want to include the 4th of July because there's a lot more fires during the 4th of July. I figure all the snow on the ground at New Year's is free. It's part of the safety factor.
Darkness.
In darkness, yeah.
Do you think it's more fireworks sold at 4th of July or New Year's?
Mm-hmm. because it's really good.
Assemblymember.
It's like a war zone on the 4th of July. Fireworks going off.
I'm in town, must be in your area, close to the fire.
No, it's come from Sutton.
No, it's not. That's just the shooting. I'm the shooting. Yeah. Assemblyman Mueller?
Yeah, I'd like to go on record to commend Mr. Houston. I think this is the most brilliant thing I've seen so far today. Actually legalizing something that's non-harmful in a time of year when Mother Nature can pretty well protect it. As far as the 4th of July, I want to remind you of the Big Lake Fire, and I'm sorry, even the cities don't allow fireworks on the 4th of July. So I would vote against the 4th of July, and I fully support this beat, and I want to thank you for bringing it forward, because let's not make lawbreakers out of people that are just trying to celebrate the new year.
Member McKee?
What are you done laughing?
I can think of a few other things I'd like to legalize.
Yeah, the taxes, though, make it work well.
You know, I'm going to support this. It is rather interesting, though. I know of a number of people in my community that have fireworks displays on the water bodies.
Yeah.
And this excludes the water bodies.
That part wasn't my idea.
That wasn't your idea.
Yeah.
Well, so I know a lot of people that will still be illegal, because the best place to do this is in an open, cleared spot. So would you be amenable to?
I can speak to that.
Okay.
I know a lot of people in my neighborhood who will also be continuing to break the law for that very same reason.
Right.
The reason that was in there is for water quality, and there's a lot of trash, leftover pieces of the fireworks and whatever this then going to be in the lake, and so
it goes wherever the fire.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I would, if somebody wanted to make that motion, I would probably vote with you.
Okay. Assemblymember Bertini.
Okay, I will vote to remove number 4. Or within 50 feet of waterways within the borough.
Can I speak to that?
There's a motion to delete item number 4, and Assemblymember Ewing.
Yeah, I can say that in the city of Wausaua, even the city has their fireworks display on the lake. So I think it's a great idea.
One more time, Assemblymember McKee.
I just want to say that I do that with hesitation, only because I frequently am the one that cleans up our lake. Usually I go to the big lake for fireworks, but there are people on my lake that do it, and it's always, there is a lot of stuff. The wind blows down. I get it in the spring as well, but it's not that difficult to clean up.
Mr. Culver?
Well, we might have a good lawsuit over this, because a waterway is really not a waterway, is it, when it's frozen? Because you have a good defense. An ice lake.
Okay, to the amendment. Is there any objection to the amendment? Okay, now back to the original ordinance as amended. Are you ready to vote? Any more comments? Okay, is there any objection? You see none, ordinance 10-043 passes. Ordinance serial number 10-078, an ordinance approving economic development incentives in the form of a partial exemption of property taxes for 3 years and a tax deferral for Mod Plant LLC, related to the construction and operation of an engineered building products facility. Ms. Manager, do we have a staff report?
Yes, we do. Okay, we have some good staff report.
Mrs. Assistant Mayor and Assembly Members, give me actually, I have mixed feelings tonight because this is a wonderful project that Maude Plant put together where we would have 70 to 200 new employees in the borough that would have permanent jobs, and it would give us around $51,000 average salaries when the average borough salary in borough jobs is $35,000. I've been working on this off and on for about 6 months with Maude Plant. They currently have their factory in Anchorage and want to move it out here. Everything was set to go, and they had asked for the incentive package. They meet all the requirements. And then after we actually went ahead and introduced this package, they got word from their financial institutions that due to the economic situation in the country and some new policies that their financial package was no longer acceptable as it was. And so they asked that we not go forward at this time until they could work on it and figure out what they needed to do. But again, I want to say it's a wonderful project.
Assemblymember Ewing? Yeah, Dave, I'm sad to hear that because, you know, I've been out to their project site several times doing work for the company to work with and was encouraged to see that type of development happening in that area. I'm hoping the economic trend turns so that they can, there can be some competition here in the valley and lower the prices of some of the materials still be offering, pre-manufactured materials, trusses, floor joists, stuff like that. So I'm sad to see that. When I first read this, I thought, you know, that we're opening Pandora's box. But the more I read through it, the more I realized that maybe these type of incentives should be looked at. And there was a payback period. And if you don't get the money paid back, it's like you foreclose. So it was a win-win. At first, I didn't like it, but as I read through it, it was well put together. I applaud your efforts. At first, I thought, well, we're just opening up Pandora's box for every business that comes to town. They're going to want a tax break. But I'm sad to hear that they're not going to be with us because competition is good for everybody. Jobs are good for everybody. And especially that area. That area needs jobs badly. That's the Meadow Lakes area. And so it would have been much needed. Thank you for your efforts.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Hansen? Thank you very much. Oh, Mr. Houston. Sorry. There you go.
Make sure I can end in a question. So this is exactly the kind of thing that we want to have happen. This is what we talked about when we say, well, we need to move, have encouraged businesses to move from Anchorage to here and make this their home base of operations and whatnot. These are exactly the kind of jobs that we talked about we need. We just had three different discussions about, you know, this kind of industry jobs and that kind of industry jobs. These are the kinds of jobs that we need. So my question is there anything else that we can do to help them to get their financing in order or whatever? Is this going to come back?
I guess I'd ask each questions. First, is it going to come back? I hope it does. But at this point, nobody can say because they have to rework the financial package. As far as what else we can do to help them, within the code we have and the options we have, I'm not aware of anything specific other than our moral and general support. You've said it very well, these are the kinds of jobs you want. These serve our villages and our workforces in and putting up modular units and so forth for our mining industry and the petroleum industry. It's an Alaskan manufacturing industry that can make it in state.
Ms. Gray, I'm just going to say that staff is recommending postponement indefinitely for any
time. All right. I just have another question, Mr. Hanson.
Assemblyman Halter.
Is it my understanding that my plant owns the land that's missing?
Yes.
They already own it prior to this package going into them?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yeah, so land ownership it's getting the financing for the 4.2. Well, it actually comes to about $6 million, over $6 million when you're going to both build the facility and equip it. The land is not an issue, right.
Can I add to that? Yeah, my observation is they have done extensive work out there already on the site. I don't think they poured the slab, but I think they were at that stage, possibly when the funding was pulled. So, like you said, I'm sad to see it not
happening because of the downturn economics. The lending situation, being as it
is, hard for
anybody to get along. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Hanson.
Thank you.
Could you pull this for us? Oh, is anyone signed up? No. No one signed up for the public hearing. Does anyone wish to come forward and speak on this issue? Ms. Kaysen?
I would speak against it because, first of all, property taxes are unconstitutional and it would be showing special favor and people would be expecting that. And our goal should be to reduce spending. And we do need jobs here, but those things, I mean, it's got to be fair across the board. And I think that would be appropriate. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to come forward and speak? Okay, seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing. Assemblymember Bettina, could you move that for me, please?
I move ordinance serial number 10078 and move for postponement
indefinitely. Okay, there's a motion to postpone indefinitely. Can we discuss it? Assemblymember Young.
I'd like to discuss the particulars on the postponement as far as like to clarify to the public, this was not a giveaway. This was a deferral of taxes that would be paid back within the 5-year period after this business was in operation. So we weren't giving away a dime of anybody's money. It was just an incentive program to help somebody get off the ground. And I'm in favor of the postponement.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the postponement indefinitely? Okay. And that, Ordinance 10-078 is postponed indefinitely. Madam Clerk, could you read the next ordinance into the record, please?
Ordinance Serial Number 10-079, ordinance accepting and appropriating $18,154 from the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to the Borough Local Emergency Planning Committee Fund 480, Project Number 20259 for fiscal year 2011 operations, with funding resolution Serial Number 10-070, resolution approving scope of work and budget for the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security Emergency Management Grant, Project Number 20259, Fund 480 for the Borough Local Emergency Planning Committee.
Good evening, Deputy Mayor, to the Assembly. This is funding from the Division of Homeland Security for our local emergency planning committee. Every year they contribute the lion's share of the funding so that this committee can do their emergency planning work. Their Tier 2 hazmat reporting, the different community emergency planning, help with our emergency operations plan, and help conduct exercises.
Okay. Are there any questions, Mr. Brodin? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
I'll open the public hearing. Does anyone wish to come forward to speak? Any sign up, Madam Clerk? Okay, seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing. Assemblymember Bettini, could you move that for me, please?
Yes. Move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-079 and resolution serial number 10-070.
Okay. Would the gentleman advertising or sending our meetings out to Radio View Palmer can't hear.
We would like to have.
But that's okay. We have it on the record. I keep forgetting to remind you to do that. But okay, yeah, okay. It's on the floor. Assemblymember Ewing.
Yeah, having served twice on the local LEPC, I can tell you that a lot of volunteers do a lot of special things to make this happen. And this has been discussed for years. I'm glad to see it finally funded. They operate on a shoestring over there, and they have entities from the Alaska Railroad, the hospital, from the National Guard, from the state troopers, from the cities, and they do a wonderful job on a shoestring budget. It's one of the borough programs that I can tell you is run very efficiently, and B is not here. I wanted to thank her for all the hard work she's put into the LEPC, and Ken is another one. And everybody on the LEPC has been there for years. I had to resign my spot because my schedule was just too full, and I didn't have the time to put into it. But there is an assembly position open, and I think that they would like to have that expanded because we do have a lot of business to be any elected official from the valley, not just from the borough assembly. So maybe this is something we need to take up at a different time on that issue, Kalani, that the LEPC be allowed to extend that invitation for the elected official to not just borough, but to possibly elected official either state or at the city.
That would just be cold change, Mr. Ewing, if you wanted to do that.
I'd love to do that. At times we have... It's like 30-some people on there, and it takes 12, I think, for a 11, 12 for a quorum. And this will allow them to help make a quorum. And again, my hat's off to them for their efficient work they do and all the hours they put in.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak to that? Okay. Is there any objection? Seeing none, ordinance serial number 10-079 and Resolution 10-070 has passed. Ordinance serial number 10-080, an ordinance approving the reclassification of borough-owned parcel 25 North for West 31D-009, located at approximately 5.5 Talkeetna Spur Road, MSB-006013, to a dual classification of reserved use lands, emergency services facility, ESF, and material lands. Is there any?
Yes, Nancy Campbell, Land Management, will be giving the report.
Good evening, Deputy Mayor and Borough Assembly and Manager. This is a classification for a piece of property that has been identified by emergency services as a pinpoint in the radius diameter of an area that needs a fire public safety building, which there is no facility to cover this area at this time. What is before you is actually just the first process of this is classifying this piece of land because it's currently classified as material lands only. It was used as a gravel pit. And when the Talkeetna SPED was approved, there was some stipulation that there would be no further mining out of that pit unless it were done under conditional use permit. There is no plans to mine further from that property. It is an ideal location, already cleared and ready to go for the fire station. There are stockpiled rocks on the property that we would like, land management would like the ability to remove those stockpiled rocks, and therefore we are asking for that dual classification to reserve the property for the fire station and to keep it material land so we can get rid of those stockpiled rocks. Any questions?
Assemblymember?
The stockpiled rocks. Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example? What type of rocks?
No, I can't. Debbie Bruneski is our natural resources specialist, and I'm assuming it's like, not gravel, but rocks.
By using them?
Possibly, yeah. We just don't want to lose the ability to use them for whatever purpose we need to use them for.
Two things that are missing here that we normally see on an item like this. Mm-hmm. One is a map.
There is a map.
I don't see it in my packet.
Really? Okay. It is. It is on page 211.
That's why I don't see it.
You don't have page 211?
Well, wait a minute. I'll find it.
Okay.
It's like 213 to me or something.
Okay.
Sorry. And how many acres is this?
If you would ask me that. That's okay.
It's in there.
I just, to be honest, I just can't pull it off the top of my head. Yeah. Yeah, it's over 5 acres. Does that work?
You know, everybody wondering what we do with gravel.
Yeah. It was a perfect example. Yeah, it's a perfect example of it. And it is supported.
You don't need to let me know. I'll find the rest.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
13.61 acres.
Thank you.
That is over 5.
We put a bumper sticker on it to say...
No one signed up to speak to this ordinance. Does anyone wish to come forward at this time? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing. Assemblyman Halter.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 10-080 and ask for unanimous vote in favor of that location over. This is the clear choice of Talkeetna County Council. Ken Carina, who is the fire chief up here, this is his choice. There is another parcel, but I think it's far inferior to this location.
Okay, is there any objection to the unanimous request by Mr. Halter? Okay, seeing none, that ordinance is passed. That brings us to audience participation, where members of the audience can come up and speak to us. They have 3 minutes per person. The first person I have is Karen Nugent-Lobin.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. My name is Karen Nugent-Logan. I am the Executive Director of Alaska Addiction Rehabilitation Services, better known as Nugent's Ranch. I wanted to bring to you an update as to what has happened to my facility, because progress is good, but unfortunately, eminent domain has taken the facility where I am currently located, and I have until April 30th of 2012 to vacate the property. The unfortunate thing is that to build a residential treatment facility is very costly, and I'm actually $1.3 million short of that. So what I'm here is to ask, or next time when you do the community development block grant, to contact me and talk with me about maybe having this project go forward, because I am in the process of building at Point McKenzie, but like I said, I'm just a little short of that. So thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No question.
Do we have a question for that? And so does Mr. Mm-hmm. Hume.
So this is the farm, this used to be the old bread and water.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
Is, oh, I did not realize.
Yes.
I will
miss that. Yes, it's going away.
Okay. Hmm?
Yeah, so you're located in Wausau right now. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. The amount of square footage that you need currently?
Right now, my building is 12,000 square foot, and we're going with the contractor and everything. It's about 16,000 square foot building at Point McKenzie. We have 116 acres out there that we own, that we are going to put the new facility at.
Can you explain to me your residential treatment? I think I
okay. Long-term residential treatment is the person comes to the facility and lives there from up 6 months up to 2 years, receiving counseling, community support, learning to rebuild their lives, get new family and friends without the use of drug or alcohol. Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Karen, did you start your project? I saw you were soliciting contractors.
Yes, we did. Okay. Tomorrow's my first meeting out at the site. They've actually started working on it. I am hoping with the funds that I got from the sale of the property and a grant from the Matsu Health Foundation to at least get an enclosed building, but it won't quite finish it yet. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nikki Tasey.
Thank you. I'm Nikki Taysom. I just want to go over some things really quickly. This is from 2 Nephi in the Book of Mormon. This land is consecrated unto them whom he shall bring, and it shall be that if they shall serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. But if the day shall come that they shall reject the Holy One of Israel, if the day they will...
he will bring other nations unto them and give them power, and they will lose that land. I have visited with the school district, and I have some serious concerns that I'd like to present. Our superintendent and school district just passed a resolution to spend $400,000 to hire someone to teach our math teachers how to teach math, with the statement being it is the gateway to civil rights. This is a racial and public statement made by our superintendent. He wants to hire a mediator. Their busing and maintenance have excessive spending. The borough passed a resolution to spend $185,000 for a build-out program. He wants to initiate a longer school day and a school year, which decreases family time. The union contracts, they are using coercion. Some people don't want to be members of the union, but they have to be in order to have their contracts negotiated. The union opposed Proposition 2, which would take away parental rights. Mr. Vig at Palmer High School has a demonic image painted on his door of his classroom, and I asked to have it removed 3 weeks ago, and it is still there. A student was taught in her class in a high school that she no longer had to listen to her parents. CSI and rock music is played in Wasilla High School. Evolution is being taught. There is a strong Russian and Asian and Spanish influence being taught. The union has a poster on their window of Barack Obama as the Buddha. This man supports abortion, alliance with Russia and China, unconstitutional spending, and government control. They have no regard for the family or our children. You walk through our communities. Everything. There's alcohol, tobacco, caffeine, fast foods, pornography, violence, demonic media, body piercing, tattoos, large corporate stores that are choking our local economy across the nation. It's not about competition and development of a community. Our communities are in danger. Our children are in danger. And I personally ask for the dismissal of these people who have no regard for our children or families. With this statement, I close. And it's made by Lenin and one by Khrushchev. Postpone war until the moral disintegration of the enemy makes the fatal blow easy and possible. Khrushchev stated, "We will hang you with the rope you sold us." We are a dependent, immoral, addicted, dishonest nation, and it's done through the influence of government in our schools and unconstitutional across the board in our schools and government. And I demand that it change. I love my country, and I love my family, and I love children, and I will stand and fight for all of them. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ.
Next on the list is Bill Frick.
Madam President, Assembly members, my name is Bill Frick. I live on Rocky Lake. I spoke to you at the last meeting regarding the Mid Valley Senior Center's needs. The comments tonight were all about the tractor. That would be nice, but the tractor is not the important. If we had listed those things by importance, the well would have been first. When you take water from these old people to water the plot, you drain that well, and it actually shut it down this summer in spite of all the rain. And your comment about a grant, money from the general fund possibility or money from a grant recipient to us, I thought was very good. Now the part on education comes. You are the elected governing body for the Mat-Su Valley. Is that correct, madam? In some cases? The governing body sets the rules, the budget, etc. The mayor's comment about the legality of taking money from one agent to another, to me, did not seem right. If you are the governing body, you can adjust the budget, and you do make adjustments before you adopt that budget. So if you can request money from the general fund or from a recipient, that's appreciated, and I believe it's totally legal for this body to do that. If I'm wrong on your power, my neighbor Bettini will tell me later. Other than that, I don't have anything else to say. Record time.
George
Doucet? Oh, gee, I thought I was going to get some questions, but...
Again, if you have questions, feel free to contact Pam Graham. She can help
me. No.
Okay.
I'm George Dusek. I'm on the board of directors at Mid Valley. I'm also the Mid Valley person that's in charge of the garden. I'd like to fill you in a little bit on what the garden is. Probably most of you don't know. The garden was started about 3 years ago. And the whole idea, the presumption behind the garden was to, we had an area across from the senior citizens building that was used originally as a ball field. We thought that if we could take this and make a community garden out of it, we would be able to get the seniors out of the senior housing and out there doing some physical work. And at the same time, it would benefit the seniors as a whole, because what we originally set up to do was set up garden plots, 20 by 20, for $20. And now this was for people who couldn't garden at their own place, or just who needed a place. And what we would do is supply the land and the water, and they do all of their own planting, harvesting, and we would mentor them somewhat. We kind of lucked out this year because we just finished the new housing section, and one part of the housing section was really rich in topsoil. So we had to deal with Fisher, where they took that topsoil, they mixed peat with it, and gave it back to us for just the cost of the fee for trucking it. And that doubled the size of our garden. We now have 40 plots that we can rent out. We rented out this year 14. The garden is put in for vegetables strictly for the use of the senior center. We have about 600 linear feet of potatoes in, and we've been harvesting other vegetables all year. Like he said, the tractor is a little part of what we need. We to hook up our watering, we had to go from the main senior center. We run under a culvert across the street. Last year when we had sunshine, we run our well dry twice. We can't keep running the senior center well dry. This year we burned out a relay when there was sun. Luckily, the rest of the year we haven't had water. But in the original grant, the tractor was just a small portion. We also put in there for fuel, fertilizer, seedlings, hand tools. We've got good response from the community. Jack Markles, who is a big farmer out in the Big Lake area, he gave us over 200 plant starts. It's just a lot more encompassing. I could keep going on another 15 minutes.
No, that's okay.
There's so much more to it than just the tractor. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Diane, do you say?
Hello. Got to take off my glasses to read my notes. I'm a senior citizen. I might forget what I was going to say in my 3 minutes. I wanted to talk about the garden, too, and just emphasize how important it is to a lot of the seniors out there. I have a plot. I drive 30 miles round trip to go work my plot, because it's that important to me. I really like where I live. It's a beautiful place, but it's a pile of rocks. And it's only through the senior center that I have an opportunity to garden. I really appreciate my fresh vegetables. We all know how expensive they are in the stores. I also really enjoy working in the garden, but I share my surplus with other senior friends of mine who are not physically able to garden. As George said, I think the most important thing to me would be to have a well and to be able to water next year when we're not going to get as much rain as we had this year. I'd really appreciate any kind of help you can give us, and I want to thank Mrs. Bettini and Mr. Irwin for trying to help us out. Oh, I got a minute and 27 seconds. Does anyone have any questions? None. That's discouraging. It would really be good if we could somehow find the money, at least for the well, for next year. I guess that's it then. Thank you.
Next on my list is David Payne. You gone? Okay. Beth Adrian? No, Beth? Okay. And Mike Patterson? Okay. All right. That's, oh, and I have a Ned Snyder. Neil Snyder?
I'm trying to make this brief. My case is on ejectment. And in a nutshell, layman's term, what ejectment means is, is selling the interest in land to somebody without just fully disclosing what it really is or was. And in the case of where I'm at in one of my particular plays, I dropped a series of cases off of John's office and also Elizabeth's about ejectment that went on in other states and how they dealt with the problem. What was not disclosed was the deed of trust was on, but not and rent. And that is a disclosure violation. The other piece of legislation I'm going to march through is on the Indian case that I'm working on, and I'm going to finalize that probably this week and send it on to the Department of the Interior. And one of the members I found who so-called had an oath of office to transfer the deed of trust and rents to you people didn't have a lawful oath of office. So we'll see what the Department of the Interior thinks about that one. That's enough for now. Thank you.
That's all I have signed up to wish to speak.
Deputy Mayor Woods, members of the Assembly, Borough staff, my name is Jill Showman. I'm the president of the Mat-Su Education Association. As another fall rolls around, I'd like to thank you for your time and dedication to our community. Public service certainly is not easy. I'm sure you get phone calls, emails, constant communication with constituents regarding many issues, and I just want to say thank you for your time. I also want to thank Member Halter for attending last week's school board meeting. It was great to have an assembly member there. He can tell you what the place looks like. Quite impressed, by the way. But I would also like to say that during the past couple of years, I've had the opportunity to just watch how the relations have improved with the school district. And I so appreciate that as a member attending both the school board and the borough assembly meetings as a community member. I so appreciate your time, your dedication, and doing what you need to do so that we can make sure that our public schools and our kids are educated. So thank you again. It looks like it's still sunny outside, so I'll stop. Thanks.
It looks cloudy to me.
No, there's some sun.
Good evening, Deputy Mayor Woods, members of the Assembly. My name is Rick Burns, President of the Classified Employees Association. Not that I really feel a strong need to defend unions, but I do need to publicly correct a couple of statements that have been made now twice publicly. First, the unions did not support a no vote on ballot measure 2. We very strongly supported a no vote on ballot measure 1, the so-called gag law. The unions took no position on ballot measure 2. This has been said both publicly at a school board meeting and now has been said here. Secondly, and this for me is a kind of a funny one, the picture of President Obama on our office window is President Obama in a yoga position. It is not portrayed as a Buddha. He has no Buddha belly, and trust me, I know I have a Buddha belly. He does not have a Buddha belly in this picture. The portrayal of the unions as being against children and families is 100% incorrect. Any of you who know us know that our main goal is the children in the valley, and to portray us in any other light is simply inaccurate. I just felt the need to correct for the second time publicly some things that were said. Appreciate what you folks do for us, and you'll be seeing us at all of your meetings again this year. Thank you.
Legislative priorities for the Manuscitna Borough for the year 2011.
Okay. Mr. Colbert. Thank you. There's a few things in here that might need to be kind of tweaked, maybe updated. One thing, an overall comment is I think we need to kind of reformat our format. I don't think it looks, I've seen a lot of these the last year or so. I think we need to spice ours up a little bit, maybe. More concise, and you know, we have this one that I've seen, I think it's been here 8 years. It's reauthorization of school debt, debt reimbursement program, continuation of school operating fund adjusted for inflation, support the DOT's maintenance. Maybe we need some of them, maybe we don't. We need to rephrase the school. Funding formula, say something like the stimulus funds are now running out, and the last adjustment for the formula is now completed. We're going to need more money this year. Yeah, I think what we, you know, my procedure would be we kind of like take some time, get some input, work on it for another couple of weeks. There's another one on page 4 of 6 on the. Under actual resolution, it says that it's the last item, $6 million in capital funds to construct a connector road between the old and new trunk alignment. And we had talked with Mr. Schwartz about including that in the bond package, and then he came back and said that's not necessary. So I'm thinking that might be one that can come off.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't we go through, might I suggest, and just delete the ones that shouldn't be on there. I'm of a mind we need a lot smaller list.
Yeah, the other.
And so I think it's up to us to pick the important ones. It would be nice. You know, generally, I know we always ask for revenue sharing and the school funding and a couple others, but we really need to boil that down. And if we could do that here, then it can be rewritten. Okay.
One way we might be able to do that is do two resolutions, one an operating budget one and one a capital budget one, so they don't have to wade so far through our operating request to get to our, I think we should have numbered or bullets, you know, top priority stuff, boom, 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 not too many. And we have to rephrase this operating budget language, it's the same stuff as they use. And they'll say, oh, we got that last year.
Three to five.
So,
okay. Assemblymember Ewing.
Yeah, I agree. It's a long list. It's not itemized. It's not prioritized. We have stuff in there that we don't even need to say. Support for the development of Alaska natural gas resources for in-state commercial. That's a given. We don't need to say that. We got gas here in the valley. You know, if I was Fairbanks, this would be top of my list. I'm not Fairbanks. So I'm from the Mac.
Okay, so you're proposing to pull that one?
Let's weed this thing down, and I'll tell you why. Because
okay, is that a motion then?
Yes, it is.
Okay, there's a motion to remove the in-state gas supply.
We did have a discussion.
Okay.
I honestly think we got to have a work session on this. Yeah. A separate time, and actually kind of look at this.
Withdraw the motion.
We just seem like we're going to kind of Let's actually, I agree we ought to cut some of these things down and organize it by road projects. And
let's do that on that special meeting you threw in there, Jim.
No, we really need this done. Sooner the better. Assemblymember Bettini.
You may recall last year we didn't get this done in time for the governor's budget. It's my understanding that it's very important that we get at least the capital done tonight. Let's get the capital done tonight. And
they're working on it right now.
In fact, they've been starting to work on it for 2 weeks.
And we're always behind on this, and I think it's here before us months ahead of time, but we need to get the capital done. And then if we want to revise it later, we can. Yeah. So I say let's hit the capital budget first.
Okay, capital priorities. Assemblymember Houston, I just moved on to that sheet, so I'm ready for you to talk about capital priorities.
Oh, see, I was just going to make a point. We have a number of times here decided not to have our planning meetings here. The last time we met for our planning meeting was, last January. And the rhetoric has been, we don't need to do that, we got to get near it. And so, but this is the reason why we need to do that regularly, because this is the work that we do in those meetings. And so this is a plug for us to have those meetings, not postpone them because we all want to do something else on a Saturday. So that's it. And now I'll just tear apart the capital budget.
Okay.
I have a point of order.
Assemblyman Ewing.
I don't believe we advertised properly for this.
Yes, it's been on the same news.
Resolution approving state legislative priorities for the Adams Borough 2011. I don't think that covers what we're doing now.
Okay. Assemblymember Bettini.
I would like to make the provision the $55 million to fund the continued construction of the rail extension to Port McKenzie from the Alaska Rail Mainline as our number one priority in the state capital budget. And I'd like to speak to that. We're kind of on a roll here. We're moving forward on it, and we've got the governor's buy-in right now. He did not veto it. And we need it in his budget because this, what we got last year, came in the nick of time. I mean, it was lucky they kept on. I mean, do you remember what it was like? I mean, It was at the very end. Bill Stoltz somehow scooted it in. So I would like to make that our top priority. And I think that we should probably move, not in my district, but I think we need to move the Bogard extension from the Glen to Colony High School as our second priority, because we're in control of it. We're managing it. If we get the money, we can move forward. So I would like to see that as number two.
Over the road bumps?
Okay. Yeah. Hold it first. Okay. Hold it now. There's a motion on the floor to number one be the rail extension and number two Bogard extension. Now, to number one and number two, Assemblyman Houston, then Mr. Halter.
I can agree with that if we just do it one at a time. Let's vote on what's number one, and then let's talk about what's number two.
Okay.
So to the rail, it's fine with me. I would withdraw number two priority.
Okay. Does anyone object to her withdrawing her number two priority? Okay. No objection. So rail number one. Is there any discussion?
No.
Mr. Halter?
The fixed $5 million. And that was last year's number, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then it was vetoed down to. Finally, it was vetoed. So we got $35 million, and now we're back asking for $55 million.
It's $150 million.
Doesn't make a bit of sense.
Yeah. The whole project is
$70 million.
But it was always going to be financed by revenue bonds through the railroad. That's how it's always sold.
That's hard.
I was out at the port when we made a presentation to legislators and their staff regarding the construction of this. Mr. Perkins and Mr. Swartz were there to define where this amount of money will get them to. And Ms. Gray, could you fill in for Mr. Halter on that?
Yes, to Deputy Mayor, Mr. Halter. Last year's request was $57 million. This is $55 million. I'm very similar. But what we are trying to do is get 2 years out on the project so that we can continue going without breaks in construction. So that's why the $55 million. And Assemblymember Bertini is correct. That total amount is for the project is how much, Dave?
We've gotten $62 million to... Madam Deputy Mayor and Assembly Members, Dave Hansen, Economic Development Director. We've received to date $62 million, and that includes a $35 million from this past year. To complete it, we need another $155 million, which will totally complete the project. The way it's laid out is $55 million for this year, $60 million the following year, and $40 million the year after that. This year's $35 million will construct the roadbed for the first 5 or 6 miles, plus design the alternative that is chosen by the EIS to get over to the main line, plus take care of right-of-way acquisition. The $55 million we're asking for in this budget that's in front of you would complete the next 8 to 10 miles of roadbed, railroad bed, and by right-of-way. The $60 million for the following year would complete construction of the remaining rail route to the main line. The $40 million, which is in the third year from now, purchases and lays the rails, and you are done. And part of the way this is laid out is so it can be done within the next 3 to 4 years, and we would actually have coal on that rail 4 years from now, still within the current or the coming administration. So $155 million is what we're going after in these three bites. The total cost will be, this is an estimate, of course, $220 to $225 million for the whole project, of which we're $62 million into already.
Okay, any other discussion on the rail being the number one priority?
Can we get that in a memo form, please? All those...
Sure. Yeah, and if you get a chance to go out there and see the work that's been done this this summer. I recommend. You have good. Okay. Any objection to that being number one? Okay.
Well, I think I'd like to reserve that until we go through some of these other road projects and things like that.
Well,
no, this is the motion is to this to be the number one. And if you object, we'll go ahead and
burn.
No. It just seems like this is kind of a fast, hard thing to put a grip on. You know, it's
we can tweak it later. This is we're looking at the governor's budget, which mm-hmm. is this project really.
Have at
it. We had an objection. Members, please cast the vote.
Motion passed. Assembly Member Ewing opposed.
Okay. Capital budget. Next item of importance, Assemblyman Colbert.
I'll move the Bogart extension to number two. Congestion along the Pomosilla Highway. This is that parallel track, early congestion. The route's already decided. We were halfway into this thing. We need to get closure to get that thing up and built. We're really not utilizing the funding that we have had so far for it because we haven't got construction going on. So I think we need to leverage this one. We're in another one that we're well into with the state's invested heavily.
That's both.
And they have been purchasing the right-of-way to get to this point. Designs about. Is there objection to this, since Bogart being number two? I don't see any. Okay.
I have a motion.
Assemblyman Ewing.
Yeah, because, again, we load these lists down, and they get complex. And as a result, we have to look at what we can live without. So I'm going to propose four cuts. One of them is the only funding that would go to in my district, and that's for the Lucille and Selden intersection. Also, the funding for $6 million for the Palmer Hayflats Natural Science Center, the $4 million for Hatcher Pass Ski Area, and I'm going to tell you why. We're going to talk about that one. And the $13 million for South Denali. We've got to cut. We've got to show them we're not greedy enough. I want to talk about this $4 million for Hatcher Pass first, if I may. I'm making a motion to remove those four.
Okay.
Hatcher Pass, we were told we had the money for the road. Mr. Tuffy sat right there and told us we had the money for the road and the parking. We didn't have the money for the warming facility, and the Nordic ski trails would be built by volunteer labor. So I don't know why this is frivolous stuff, needs to be pulled from here. In order to show that we're serious, we only want the bare necessities. The rest of this is very irrelevant. And I think that at this point, with the economic situation as it is, these four items need to be pulled. So
which four are they for here?
The last. I think we did talk about having a short list here. Yes. So, Assemblyman Colbert. So
what I think we ought to do tonight, instead of get wrapped around the axle on these individual projects, I think we've got two. Maybe add one more and call it a resolution to be included in the governor's budget. And call it good. Give us time to work the others. We need more time to thoroughly come up with a better looking document and more and clear, concise, and tighter. But I think we just do a resolution in support of inclusion in the governor's budget and about three of them can send that in and we can follow up with our
about the road.
Legislators are, you know, maybe get you $500,000 here or there.
Okay. Mr. Halter.
I'd like to nominate as third priority funding $6 million for substandard roads and bridges.
Okay.
Okay, before we take...
I'll pull mine.
Okay, I was just going to say, are you withdrawing your motion? Is there any objection to... Mr. Ewing withdrawing his motion? Okay, seeing none, the motion is withdrawn. And Mr. Halter, you're moving to have $6 million for substandard roads and bridges as being number three.
Correct.
Okay. I know we received, we're working on that appropriation.
It was vetoed.
It's $1.5 million.
I just
got
money for that. And we got
some
the year before, too.
Yeah. We got some money from the railroad every year. Yeah, I mean, realize that. This would be to...
Could we have a report on that, Ms. Gray? Is Sean gone? Yeah. No. She didn't. Could you tell us, please, where we are on that funding for substandard roads?
I can. Sean O'Neill, Public Works Director. We have gotten money for substandard roads and bridges. We are working on some of those bridges now. I think we're appropriating the second, the money that came in the 2000, in this fiscal year, but I believe it was only $1 million. We didn't get what we asked for.
Okay.
And there are lots more substandard roads and bridges.
Do you happen to know the total to date, $1 million this year? How many we got last year, previous year?
It's an odd number. I don't recall right off the top of my head.
All right. Thank you very much. Before you go, Mr. Houston and Mr. Ewing.
Is still on the topic. I don't have a particular
question. Okay. And Mr. Ewing, did you have a question on the substandard roads and bridges?
Yes, I did. I think it's a great idea because I think that Jim's idea, let's keep it short and sweet. Byrne is throwing something in there that needs to be done. It's a low budget, $6 million. I think these three things ought to be what we forward through as our top priorities right now. If you're inclined to do it, then we can come back and look at it. I'm all in favor of these three. And I wonder.
Did you have a question for Ms. O'Neill?
Why is the funding? Why do I see funding for $2 million for Hatcher Pass, Ontario, and trails and roads and parks? I see it on here again for $4 million.
I can't answer that.
Now, who put it on here twice? Now, if you sent this off to Juno, they laugh you right out of town.
Thank you, Ms. O'Neill. Mr. Ewing.
Who did that? Who made that mistake?
Different project.
No, just saying.
Too much. Let's get this done.
Okay.
All in favor.
Mr. Houston.
I actually, I don't think this is the right thing. I think it's a very important thing. I don't think it's the right thing to put in the governor's budget. It's a perennial. We have a big need that we're going to nibble away at. I think it's more of a programmatic thing that we should be working with our legislators and DOT on. And so I would rather see the road bond package in as number three.
Mr. Houston spoke against the substandard road and bridges. Is there any further discussion? Assemblymember Bettini.
I'd go for the $35 million in state funds to match the voter-approved road bond. That's why I think it's important that it be on the governor's list, because it's voter-approved.
Okay, I have one more.
I'll speak to that.
Assembly Member Halter.
I do not think that 2008 road bond should be in this period because, you know, it's been on there 2 years in a row. It hasn't been funded through the legislature for 2 years in a row. It's not going to be funded at 70-30. I realize the state's got to come up 30-70. It's not a wise thing to do. We've got a new bond that's going to go out. I actually think that bond is better written, 100%. Spread out over a lot of different areas, good roads, and we ought to stick with that. And we should put that in here someplace. That's the bond that we have before the voters right now, 100%. These other roads, like Bogart, they need money coming from the state.
I'm sorry,
heard objection. Mr. Culver, did you have...
I'll support the substandard road, but I'll stick to that. But we have to reword the whole resolution in the title if we're going to just. And this is what I support: inclusion in the governor's budget, and because we need more time to work on the rest. So maybe we want to add one more. You know, fine. But I think we've got our two biggies in there right now. So and we're going to have to retitle and reword the whereas so that it makes sense, because it's all directed towards the legislature and yada yada. So who's going to do that? We'll take a break, I think, maybe.
Just have one reword it.
Okay. Well,
our top three priorities are boom. If not.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor for substandard roads and bridges. I've heard objection. I'm ready to cast their votes.
What are we voting on?
The third priority is substandard roads and bridges.
Yes.
It is a tie vote, and it fails.
I
have a question.
Assemblymember McKee.
I have a question about the road bond at 7030. Now, I think that I've asked this question a million times, and we always get a different answer. If we put it on as a priority, can the governor fund one road? And I'm looking at the same road as priority number one, which would be to tie that road clear to Pittman. Because then you really get people off of another dangerous road. And so here's Tammy, it's a bonding question, isn't it?
Yes, through the Deputy Mayor to Assemblymember Bettini. Yes, if the governor were to fund 70% of one road, we could issue the bonds for the other 30% of that road.
So is it enough to make it cost-effective?
I don't know the... I do not know the specific costs of that road.
But technically, sorry. Then you'd have that again. So, Mr. Kohler.
I move to request that the clerk and the assistant manager reword the resolution to be a resolution of the Managed Gross Assembly of requesting inclusion in the governor's budget the following priorities for the Managed Assistant Borough for the year 2011. And to give you license to write whereas to support the roads that we have, or the project that we have presented, and all, as well as to insert the background history that Mr. Hansen identified on the rail, so that there shows that the buy-in and what the other buy-in on these other projects, Bogart, and let them work up the final language, if that's in order.
So we have the two priorities, the rail and Bogart extension. Madam Clerk.
Can I ask you to make part of that motion to delete the items regarding legislative and operating fund priorities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that all the rest of the other priorities that are in this list.
Yeah.
And make that part of the motion.
The motion would also include deleting all the other unnecessary projects and language specific to the two projects and specific to the governor's budget.
Okay. So there's a motion to have this resolution be in the governor's budget and to be focused on those two priorities. Yes.
Have you ever heard of Ray Gillespie on this?
I have.
What do you say?
It's going to be slim pickings, and we need to define which one we wanted most.
Okay, Assemblymember Bikini.
I move that we add a third priority, the provision for $35 million in state funds to match the 2008 MSB voter-approved road bonds.
Okay, we haven't voted on the other one.
Oh,
so either there's an amendment to rewrite this for the governor's budget with our top two priorities, eliminating all the rest.
I would like to amend it to add that as a third.
So she's amending it to add the road bonds as number three. Mr. Houston.
Can we phrase that one to identify the two road projects that are the rest of the Bogard, Selden, so on specifically, or do we really need to package it as the $35 million whole deal?
Madam Clerk?
I would wait to see if the secondary amendment passes, and then wait until the primary passes, and then make your motion to change the language.
But it's legal. We could do it.
You cannot do it right now. No.
Right.
You need...
Okay.
There's a motion before you, an amendment before you. Is there any further discussion?
Restate the motion.
The motion was to amend Mr. Culver's resolution to add road bonds as another priority to be in the governor's budget.
Number three.
Yes.
I'm once again speak against that. I just don't think that road bond is strategically wise to present down there again.
Okay.
Three strikes in a row. It just doesn't make any sense. I understand now we can try to break it apart and pick out a couple roads, which may make sense. But I think we can do that without adding this at all as a third priority. To me, the number one priority should be the 2010 road bond. See if the votes pass that and then go from there.
But then we have 100% of the funds. We don't need to ask for anything.
So there's objection to the amendment. Any other discussion? Okay, Assemblymember Bettini.
That's exactly why I want to add it, is so that they can take out a few projects. That would be maybe something that Mr. Hansen, when he works with the governor, or Elizabeth works with the governor, we can speak to the fact that in order for us to bond, we would need... our portion, our 30%, would have to equal $5 million. But I think it's important that we have more than one road project in there, because we're at gridlock in the core area almost night and day. And to not ask for it again isn't a good idea either. So that's why I would like to go ahead and ask for your support of this.
Assemblymember Houston.
It's also advantageous to follow that up, that the feedback we've gotten is it's too big a bite, 35 million is too much. So, actually, that would be speaking towards my next amendment I haven't made yet.
Mr. Halder?
I guess to clear it up with you, Mr. Chatting, I'm not opposed to the road projects, it's just how we present them. I just don't think that's the best way to present them. We're going to have a couple of big capital projects going in right now because it's really urgent, we got to do it tonight, we can't wait to get it in the other time. So I understand that. We got one or two, but this one's not that well thought out. Now, if we're going to have road projects, we should just list them. I mean, the 2010 has some road project priorities in there. It may not get passed, I agree with that. But some of those priorities may need to go to the governor, too. But I don't know if that's the way it presented is. This 2008 package just doesn't seem to go. It doesn't seem to sell.
Well, it's because we did the percentages wrong.
Well,
yeah, Mr. Halper has a very good point. They're not funding at the 70-30 level anymore, okay? It's not going to fly. I didn't see a lot of Parnell sign waivers out this election cycle either. As last I checked, Mr. Parnell didn't win any of the districts in the valley. We got aced last year we got our budget cut, slashed, and again, the valley got nothing. It came down to the governor and veto time. So 50-50 is what they're funding right now. That's what they're funding, 50-50. And I agree with Mr. Halter. Even though I think all the I believe the bonding is going to have a hard time passing on the ballot, my prediction is none of them are going to pass. Because, again, we loaded it down heavy, just like this list. So I'm all for the original idea of Mr. Culver and Mr. Halter. Two biggies and a little one, and let's get her done.
Okay. I've heard objection to the amendment, so would members please cast their votes?
The motion failed with Assemblymember Houston and Bettini in favor.
Okay, we're back to the original motion.
That was restated.
That this is a resolution of the Assembly to the Governor for the Rosper and Bogart Road extension.
Taking out all the unnecessary items in there regarding
all the other projects.
Okay.
Right. Two.
You don't want to put the
Palmer
Hayflats and Apple Science Center in there?
No.
I would.
Is that a joke?
Okay, are the members ready to vote? Is there any objection? Okay, seeing as that's the resolution for the...
That is the primary, and we got to vote on the main motion as amended.
Okay.
Oh, that's just passing what we just created.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, is there any question in anyone's mind? All right, so you feel, Madam Clerk, you have enough instruction at all? Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, that resolution 10-072 as amended has passed. That brings us to AM.
Madam Chair?
Yep.
So this resolution is basically just going to read, right up to now, therefore be it resolved.
Mm-hmm. We'll work so that. We'll put in the importance of the rail spur.
That's it. Just two things. All the rest we deleted.
We'll work on those in a work session.
I understand. And this resolution, everything else has been deleted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Assemblymember Bettini.
Okay. I think we should set the work session date. And I also think that we need to have all of these projects and the department heads that have been working on them be available for questions like where we're at on Hatcher Pass and, you know.
Could we do that comment so we can finish up this and the other item? We have an AM that hasn't passed also.
Did we just finish up this stuff?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
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 So, Mr. Ewing,
yes.
Let the clerk read it into the record, and you can move it.
AM number 10-084, approving the manager to enter into a partnership agreement with the Great Land Trust for $189,500 for the MAP 2 Water Quality Protection Project as part of the Environmental Protection Grant Fund 480, project number 20381.
Mr. Ewing?
Yes, I'd like to speak to this.
So could you move it, please, first?
I'll make a motion to reluctantly approve.
You move AM 10-084.
I do.
Okay. Discussion?
I'd like to speak to it.
Okay.
The problem I have with this is, again, it's a blank check. I don't know where all this money's going, if they're going to be hiring other agencies to conduct this work. I would think that probably education would be covered by FOMS. Before we had agreements like this where it was itemized how the funding would be broke down, I don't see that in this. And I'm sorry, I can't support it until I see a breakdown of how this funding is going to be spent.
Okay.
Go ahead. Fire away.
Assembly, and Ms. Gray, do you have a comment?
Yes, may I have Frankie Barker and Christine Nelson?
Okay.
We do have some information for you. Sorry, Christine Nelson, Planning Director.
And Frankie Barker, Environmental Planner.
We do have a scope of work as well as a memorandum of understanding. We didn't necessarily put it in your packet, but it does break down the expenditures. This money
point,
is...
Point of order. This should have been in my packet. If they had this information, why wasn't it included so I can read it? Now I'm forced to read it here at the table. Again, I get very discouraged when information is available to the assembly and it's not relayed.
Did you read the IM?
I read the IM.
It breaks down the amount of money?
Yes, I read right to the exactly, but I didn't see this.
This is the work plan and the memorandum of agreement that we've developed with Great Land Trust.
Typically, we have not provided those to the assembly in the past as part of a authorization. The borough manager has in the past typically authorized these. So I apologize for them not being in the packet. Basically, this is a memorandum of understanding with Great Land Trust. It is not does not include any subcontractors. There's actually two phases to this. There is kind of the mapping and research phase, and then there is the conservation easement phase.
Yeah, we approved something like this last year, and it's the subcontractor phase that bothers me. It's what we don't get that bothers me. We didn't get the information on the pollution out at the port. That bothers me. We see GLT, but we don't see a subcontractor that's affiliated with that.
There aren't any. That's my point.
There are none, period, coming in on this grant.
On this portion, we also have the Wasilla Soil and Water Conservation District doing another portion. But on this portion, the Memorandum of Understanding specifically is with Great Land Trust, and they can't subcontract unless we would authorize that, and we don't intend to, and they don't intend to subcontract this out. This is their area of expertise. They're the only agency in the state that does these conservation easements.
So all this funding goes directly to them.
Correct.
Okay. In the future, please include all the information you can.
We will.
Along with, because it's what we don't hear here that bothers me.
Okay.
When I find it out from the public that this and that's going on, and the assembly didn't know it at all, I'm not pointing at you. It makes me very discouraged that the information is here within the borough, the confines of this building, and we're not presented with it. So thank you for clarifying that.
Okay.
I will support it now.
Thank you.
In this project, you're going to identify parcels that have conservation potential and easements for the future? 500 parcels?
Yes. The mapping identifies high-value lands that are most appropriate or highly beneficial for preservation conservation. And then part of the process is to work with landowners to see if they are willing to and interested in doing conservation easements. It's all voluntary.
So this is throughout the borough?
Yes. Yes.
All of District 7 to be included?
And that's...
Mr. Culver, did you have your hand up?
No, I'm just waiting for debate.
Mr. Houston, any questions of staff?
I was wondering if we had a presentation on this or if just I got that information.
Yeah, they've come and spoke to us before.
Okay, I won't ask for it again, I suppose. But it's a very good presentation.
One more question, Mr. Holder.
Fiscal note. So we have $61,000 coming out of the general fund to match this. Am I reading that wrong?
That was the matching funds that the assembly agreed to back in March because there was a grant match requirement, and we took a big chunk out of operating funds from fiscal year 10 that we appropriated and put into this contract or into this project fund. But there was some grant matching funds used as well, and there was a multiple meeting discussion of that.
So it's out of our grant matching fund, that $3 million
or... Pardon.
$2 million,
let's see, where is that?
And then there was the operating budget.
Wasn't it 120 some thousand that actually came out of grant matching?
Yeah,
Yeah, we reduced it by about $100,000 out of the capital grant match fund and took that out of operating budgets from public works and planning.
Okay. Assemblyman Ewing.
Yes. So I guess now I see through the smoke. And what we're doing is we're piecemealing a project. This is the first piece of the piecemeal.
No. No. That's not correct.
This entire project can do what?
3 years.
This project. And you're not coming back to me again later and saying, hey, well, this is the other piece.
No. All of the money is there, either from the grant or the matching fund. It's all been set aside. The only reason we're talking about this tonight is because the amount is over $100,000, so we have to bring it back to you for your blessing. You've already approved the grant. You've already approved the matching funds. We're not asking for more money. We're just telling you and getting your authorization of where it's being spent because the amount is over $100,000.
And again, emphasize to me, what does this do for me? What does it do for our people?
Well, this gives us it identifies, we're mapping lands that aren't currently mapped. We're getting value priorities of preservable or potentially preservable, conservable lands that reduce gray infrastructure, the reduce flooding requirements or hard infrastructure to do flooding. This is the green infrastructure that we talk about of preserving open lands and wetlands and parklands that help reduce flooding. And so part of this is conservation easements that are set aside to keep this land open and functioning in that way. That's what the conservation easements are for. So we get a mapping component that we haven't had that goes into our GIS layers, and then we get these conservation easements that are voluntary with property owners to preserve those open spaces.
So it's another overlayer of GIS.
Yeah, that's one piece of it. That's the first piece of it. And then the phase two is those conservation easements with property owners.
Assemblymember Dean.
Try to clarify what Christine just did specifically.
Does this give us more clout or poker chips to work with or whatever with the Corps of Engineers when we have a wetlands, like a wetlands mitigation bank? It wouldn't be part of the bank. Is that we've got all this wetlands reserved or identified?
It's another project that we can use for stepping stones for further grants or further requests for money. That here's a project we're doing. Here's the stormwater management plan that we can then show to Army Corps or FEMA. Here's something we've already done. Now give us more money to help us continue the process or deal with, erosion control or flooding and those sorts of things. It's another one of those stepping stones or foundation blocks that we can then build our process and our data on.
Is there any objection?
Yes,
I object. You object to calling for question. Okay.
I was just going to ask one more question.
Okay. Mr. Halter?
So clearly we don't have to buy conservation easements. They're just going to be negotiated on a voluntary basis. It says in here, like, further stewardship. Why the fund can be made available. That would be the grants from somebody else coming in for this program.
Well, part of it is that the money that is part of this, the phase two piece of it. But Great Land Trust also gets other funds that this is one of their primary functions. So they do this with or without our money. They just can do more with this grant money.
Okay, I've heard objections, so would members please cast their votes?
So,
we didn't do that.
Oh, we didn't do that.
Well, John, the main motion.
Okay, I'm not in the question and answer mode. I was in debate mode. So. Do we have that on the floor?
No. Yeah, it's on the floor.
No?
The main motion.
Yeah,
so are we going to go into the debate mode, or are we still in question mode?
I thought we were ready to vote.
I haven't said anything.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, let's vote. I support this because this is, we're partnering with the Great Land Trust, which is a local nonprofit. There's very few entities you can work with and when you're in the development business to get conservation easements. You have to, if you're going to get a wetland permit, for example, you either have to grant a conservation easement on adjacent property or similar property or something to offset your development, or you have to acquire wetlands through wetland banking. And that's a very big problem when you're trying to develop. It's very expensive. So the trust is, it makes sense for us to support a local agency, and they have a local office here in Palmer, so that when we need services and the development community, and they're also getting more knowledgeable and better relationships and doing this background work, and they'll be there for the development community when they have projects that aren't related to this. You're supporting development in actuality by entering into an agreement with folks like this, because there are very few of them. I think this is the only one in a lot. And this area, we don't have enough local wetland banks. We need more. But anyway, I'm just speaking to the board, and I think we talked it to death.
All right. Are the members ready to vote? Is there still objection?
Let's vote. Yes.
Yep, there's still objection. Okay. Please pass your vote.
The motion passes with Assemblymember Ewing opposed.
Okay, it's on to unfinished business, and we had an amendment on the floor.
Let me read it real quick. We are on unfinished business B.
Yes.
And the amendment was on the floor was to amend the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program by transferring the $15,000 of their funds to Mid Valley Seniors for non-capital expenses.
Let's speak to that.
Again?
May I speak to that?
Again? Okay.
Yeah, we have funded all the other senior programs. It's not about a typo or a problem with the application standing in the way of at least assisting in some way, and I don't know if a well is a capital. I'm sure it's probably a capital improvement, so they can't do that either. Their concept of the Victory Garden, you know what? I got to give them people credit. That's a smart move. And, you know, with the economy the way it is, we're going to see more and more Victory Gardens. And I'm glad to see, we're funding the Wasilla Seniors, Palmer Seniors, and we're acing out because of an improperly filed application to Mid Valley. I'd like to see something given to them to, and you just got, $6 million for your Palmer Senior Center? I think $15,000 taken away from the Boys and Girls Club is not going to count. And again, I know people in the six figures that drop their kids out there every day. I'm giving this big song and dance about how it's based on income. It's not.
Assemblymember Houston.
I cannot support taking the money from the Boys and Girls Club on a number of levels. I think they need it as much as any of the other programs need it. But for the biggest reason is we have a Health and Social Services Board that we created to do this task, and we asked them to do it. They put a lot of time and effort and expertise into it, and they came up with a good product, and we need to follow that process. If we come in after the fact and change things and make exceptions and whatever, then we're going to get a trail of people coming in every year who want an exception to the process for their program. I think there's plenty of support around the table for finding another way to help this project go forward. I don't think these funds are the way to do it.
Mr. Culver.
I'm just pointing out, I think that Mr. Ewing may have had them confused with Boys and Girls Club and Big Sisters and Big Brothers are a different organization, I think, mentoring children without either a mom or a dad. And he's a big brother. If I had helping out a family that didn't have a father figure.
You are correct.
Yeah, that is what...
You are correct. I did have it confused. But still, I think we can find money in there somewhere to at least help support the seniors.
Assemblymember Battiti.
Well, I'm not going to support your amendment for the same reason, but I would, that Pete mentioned, but I would like to, at a later date, maybe working with Mr. Halter, since we both, our district use at Senior Center, look for a way to fund the well.
Okay.
I'll withdraw the motion then.
Okay. Ms. Gray? Is there any objection to him withdrawing the motion? Okay.
On break, I was speaking with our attorney and our finance director, trying to figure out, you know, how could we make it work? I know we've got some questions on what powers we have to, you know, give this money, whether it's land management, parks and recs, or where we would be able to do that under our current powers. And would you speak to that a little bit, Mr. Ashburner, some of the things that you...
To the mayor, to the assembly. It was a subject of discussion earlier, Mr. Wedderman. There was a power that the borough could exercise to expend these funds. And one we were trying to look at was perhaps parks and recs powers and looking at the facility as some sort of a recreational facility. Ms. Clayton brought up that there may be an ability to use borough personnel, recreational personnel, to actually do the tilling with borough equipment. I think there's a lack of funding. I wouldn't speak to that. I'd let Ms. Clayton speak to that. There is a subsection under our Parks and Recs power under B. It's a 110-120B that does say at the end, if you fund Parks and Recs to cities or nonprofit corporations, the last sentence says the specifications for sort of laying out what you're going to fund shall include parks and recreation facilities, equipment, and programs to meet the needs and be made available to all citizens of the borough. It sounded like some of the folks speaking on behalf of the seniors were making efforts to make it available to the community. So it looks like it is something that thinking creatively, trying to perhaps construe the Parks and Recs powers a little broader than you might normally construe them. Perhaps that is a power that the borough could utilize. Sort of looking at the farming and or the use by the seniors as some sort of a good mental health recreational activity for the senior community. I think it needs a straight face test. Let Ms. Clayton speak to funds.
Okay. Are the members ready to vote?
Yeah,
on
no.
This?
Yes,
kind of
no.
I want to ask a question of the attorney and even Mr. Clayton.
If I, Assemblymember Battiti, and you made a commitment to try to find the funds in a later date.
My question was, if I can quickly ask it, was about funding.
Okay.
Can we increase? I know it's in the fiscal ticket here. We have federal state funds, $300,100. General funds, $128,600, coming from the borough. Can we increase that general fund by $18,000 and commit that to the
under this grant,
senior center?
Under this grant, this I think would not fall within what is contemplated by services. I can pull those statutes out. Mr. Skropoulos reviewed those statutes. I also reviewed them. I concur with staff that under this grant, those proposed services really are not contemplated to be funded. So what we were trying to do at the break was respond to the Assembly's questions of, is there some other pool of resources and powers that the borough may be able to tap to try to get you where you want to be? But I concur with staff earlier that a tractor and or a well really isn't contemplated for this grant.
So that's a reason. But you could increase the general fund if it met the grant.
What I was speaking to was trying to find a power that the borough may have to go and till this garden with borough staff, we were trying to find a way to get to where the Assembly wants to be, despite the fact that this grant doesn't appear to be appropriate for that.
Okay, are the members ready to vote now on the Health and Human Services?
I'd like to comment one little further before we vote, just I reviewed this 5 years. They said it's 5 years, 2005 to 2011, of every grant that was given in the borough under the same program. I could never really tell. I think I agree with Mr. Cobra that probably we need to tweak, like, who's ever making these decisions or do something, because I could never, ever tell why one grant was accepted, why one wasn't. In this particular packet here, if you look at the difference between Palmer Senior Center and Wasilla Senior Center, both are asking for the same amount of money for Meals on Wheels. One does 36,000 meals. One does 3,000 meals. The one that got 3,000 meals got 30,000. The one that does 36,000 got 17,000.
So it's been a while. So look,
I mean, I just don't understand it. That's what I guess. It just seems awfully. So I think Mr. Kroger's right. Maybe we need to look at that, how those are decided, because I think there's a...
Okay.
Let's vote.
Members, is so there objection?
Main motion?
Yes. We're on the main motion, and is there any objection? Okay, seeing none. Ordinance 10-073 and accompanying resolutions 10-065 and 10-066 has passed. Last item under unfinished business.
Resolution Serial Number 10-069, a resolution approving the amended scope of work for project number 25038, landfill expansion or facilitate self reconstruction.
It's already on the floor, is that correct? And so.
I could take care of this. Okay. I asked for it to be continued tonight, so I had a chance to go out and look at the landfill. Mr. Greg and Ms. Gray gave me a great tour. I was satisfied. Cell 3 it's advancing very well. Doesn't affect the trailhead at this point in time. I think we need to do more work to find the trailhead, what it's going to look like, how much it's going to cost. I think we need to take Cell 2 and make sure the reclamation plan is moving forward at a rapid pace, so that the trails that are going to be assumed in new cell divisions are replaced at the same time.
Okay.
So I'm for this.
All right. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, resolution 10-069 is passed. I think that brings us to new business, introductions, and clerk.
Introduction for public hearing on September 21st, Ordinance Serial Number 10-083, with accompanying Ordinance Serial Number 10-084, Ordinance Serial Number 10-085, Ordinance Serial Number 10-086, with accompanying Resolution Serial Number 10-073, Ordinance Serial Number 10-087, with accompanying Resolution Serial Number 10-074, Ordinance Serial Number 10-088, with accompanying Resolution 10-075, Ordinance Serial Number 10-089, Ordinance Serial Number 10-090, with accompanying Ordinance 10-091, and accompanying AM 10-085, and Ordinance Serial Number 10-092.
Senator Member Bettini,
I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearing for September 21st, 2010.
Okay, is there any objection? Okay, seeing none. I don't believe there are any mayoral appointments. Is there one?
Yes.
Assemblymember Bettini, could you flip to that back page? You're right.
There's yes, for the vacancy report?
Yeah.
Sorry. I move to approve the mayor's recommendation as follows. Park, Recreation, and Trail Advisory Board, Carol
cola came in. What did I do? Does anybody know? Okay. Is there any objection to that appointment? Seeing none, thank you. Okay, Madam Clerk, have we covered everything?
Yes, we have.
Mayor and Assembly comments. I wanted to just mention briefly, I was down in Kodiak for the AML summer meetings. It's a policy session primarily. It went quite well. I chair the Resource Economic Development Committee, and we were concerned about a couple of issues. And interestingly enough, Mr. Ewing, the taking gravel out of the river and the state charging $3.50 a yard was a heated topic down there. And but one of the things I did want to bring up was Anchorage Assembly member Dick Traney brought a resolution to the body, to his committee, to be approved by the body in November, calling for support for their port improvements, which they call now the Port of Alaska. And it did meet with a little objection, because many municipalities around the coastline of Alaska have ports and infrastructure needs. And so it is something that our administration and we as elected officials have to be cognizant of, that competition for dollars. And that's all I have to comment. No, but it will be up before the body in the November annual meeting in November 16th, 15th through the 18th or 19th. So, other comments? Mr. Culver, do you have any comments?
No.
Okay, Ms. Bettini?
Well, I tried to come in earlier, but
okay.
I had to wait until now, and now I can't remember.
It was work session on the rest of the priorities.
Yep.
Okay, so
Madam
you
Clerk?
Want to do it?
I don't have anything on what we do on everybody.
Can we get her done in an hour, do you think?
No.
Looking at the schedule, any suggestions?
Yes, I have suggestions.
Okay, Mr.
We incorporated in that meeting we're having on whatever day that is.
November 2nd.
Yeah.
Is that too late?
Yeah.
For legislation? We have it in a document.
Come on, I thought we were talking the governor's budget. And
yeah. Legislature. We usually meet with them in what?
January.
Yeah,
we're probably looking at it.
Okay.
November
28th? Yeah, we usually
don't. So we'll do it on election day then.
So November 2nd.
I won't be here.
Okay. November 2nd is the date you proposed, Mr. Ewing?
No.
Oh.
Is that election day?
State election.
The 6th, right?
State election. November 2nd.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Do like October 9th.
I'm not showing up on election day. Sorry.
Election certification at 5 p.m. that day.
Can't you just add it to one of the regular agendas?
Would be fine.
Okay, yeah, let's add it to the September 21st agenda.
Perfect. Okay. Make it 5 o'clock.
First reading.
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
Just, is somebody going to draft something?
Can we put it in the public hearing area so that we do it early and all the staff is here?
Is it under
one of the things?
Is it on unfinished business? Because.
Yeah.
No, it's not open.
So you want to introduce them on 9/21 and set it for public hearing on 10/19? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's fine. Yeah.
Well, I suggested the 21st.
All right. Is that it? October 19th?
So, I'd like it to be September 21st. One thing, I'd like to have our deputy mayor here with her 6 years of history and continuing lobbying back and forth to Juno that she did. I think it's important that we do it before she's termed out.
Let me get
Do it. 21st. Let's go.
All right. Mr. Halter, did you have any comments?
No, that's fine. It's just we'll have a new draft of the memorandum.
Legislative priorities.
All right. And I would like that we have people that know Hatcher Pass here. Yeah, people that know the road bonds here.
What time do you want to start, noon?
No, it's going to be on the regular meeting.
Regular meeting agenda, Mr.
November 2nd.
Okay. No, September 21st.
Okay, Mr. Houston, do you have any comments?
I do not.
Okay.
I've commented enough today.
All right. If the hearing done, we're meeting adjourned.
Hi.
I had a comment.
Oh.
I wanted to wish Jay at Novi did well. I know you're listening, Jay. Hope you feel better.